ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सकललितां श्रीविशाखामृतांश्च नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादे पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले శ్రీమదేవాతిశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తు నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణి నమో గౌరవశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే పదాంబుజాయ నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామినే గౌరవాయ గౌరాయ ప్రియ వైష్ణవ సార్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ నమః వంశజలపదరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పదితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహారణ్యాయ కృష్ణప్రేమ ప్రదాయ కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామే గౌరత్విషే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూప స్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాభ్యం నమామి భక్తశాస్త్రీయం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే జయ సురతో భంగో మమ మందమలే అర్గది మత్సవోత్సవదాంబోజో రాధా మదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్య కల్పద్రుమాల శ్రీమన్నరత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాశీల గోవింద దేవో ప్రసాదిభి సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om Parthaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gradidam Puranamunam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitam Pradavarshinim Bhagavadim Ashtaradashadhyayinim Amrutva Manusandadani Bhagavadgite Bhavadveshinim Namo Sure Vyasa Vishala Buddhe Niyaharavindaya Tavatra Netra येन त्वया भारत धैर्यपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीपा प्रबन्न पारिजाताय तोत्रवे त्रयवाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृगरुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुधावो बालनन्दन पातो वंशसुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महः वसुदेव सुतं देवं कंसचाहुर्यमर्दनं देवी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं विश्वद्रोणगा जयद्रथजरा गान्धारनीलोल्पना शय्यग्राहोदीप्तेनोहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामाविकर्णघोरमगना दुर्योधनावर्तिनी स्तोतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणमधिकैवत्र केशव पाराशदेवजस्सरोजमलं कीलाथगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानयकेसरं हरिकथासम्बोधनाम्भोदितं लोकैसज्जनशल्पदेहरहर्तेदीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतभङ्गचक्रिमलप्रसंसिनश्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्क्वातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् ज्ञानावस्थितगर्गवेन मनसा पश्यन्तीयं योगिनो यस्यादं विदुसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः
अभयम् सत्व संशुद्धि ज्ञान योग व्यवस्थिति दानो दमम् दमश्च यज्ञश्च स्वाध्यायम् तपस्स आर्जवम् फर्स्ट वर्स देन अहिंसा सत्यम् क्रोधम् त्यागम् शांति अवैषणम् दया भूतेषु अलोलुप्तम् मार्धवम् ह्री अचापलम् Then we look at the next verse. Teja kshamadritir shaucham
Teja kshamadritir shaucham
Nadroho adhimanita
Nadroho natimanita
Devi kasambadam Devi
Bhavandi
sambadam devim
Bhavandi sambadam devim
Abhijadasya bharata
Abhijadasya bharata
Teja kshamadritir shaucham
Teja kshamadritir shaucham
अद्रोहो नाधिमानिता
अद्रोहो नाधिमानिता
भवन्ति संपदं देवीं
भवन्ति संपदं देवीं
अभिजातस्य भारता
अभिजातस्य भारता
दीस थ्री वर्सेस First thing, Abhayasattva Samshuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vivasthiti, that is first verse. Then, Dhanam Dhanascha Yasya Swadhyaya Stapafsa Arjavam. Then, Ahimsa Satyam Akrodham Thyagam Shanti Abhayashanam Deya Udeshu Aloluptam Deya Udeshu Aloluptam Mardavam Kri Achabalam Tejas Kshama Dhriti Shaujam Adroho Na Adhimanida Bhavandi Sambadam Devim Abhijadasya Bharata. So you can see that we were discussing last Sunday in there about Satyam. Remember? Satyam is what we were talking about. So Satyam's nature, as Krishna says, is different, isn't it, than the way we think about Satyam. Satyam in the Vyavaharam is one thing. That's not considered even Satyam. All Vyavaharam is lie and false. There's no given importance to that. So, but still, when the commentators write the commentary, they will still say you have to be honest in life, truthful in life. But they also know very well the limitations we have. It's not possible to be truthful to such an extent in life, isn't it? So, Vyavahariga Satyam is not considered really as Satyam. It's only for the sake of keeping some peace in this world. The only truth is Krishna. That is an important point. Anything that is spoken in relationship with Atma, alone is the truth. Alone is the truth. This point will get clearer as you go into Bhagavatam further. Just like we will now discuss this Bhikshugita during the Christmas break. You can see Bhikshugita is one of the very elevated topics in the Vedangam. There are various Prakarana Grandham from Bhagavatam, from different, like Ajamila story, Puranjana Upakhyanam. Like that, there are so many topics in the Bhagavatam discussed, but this Bhikshugita has been given a very higher status because it's a much deeper level realization, that is Bhikshugita. So as you go from there, what all important topics left in the Bhagavatam still to discuss, we have got in the Ekadasha Skandam. One thing is this Bhikshugita. Bhikshugita is a big topic. It's probably take a long, long time to cover it. All the philosophy, what Krishna has spoken in those verses in the Uttoda Brahmana, what Krishna had to say to Uddhava. But after that of course we'll see. After that, there is another important chapter, which is Sankhyam, which will come as the next chapter in the Bhagavatam. Why is Sankhyam so important? You may wonder why. It is not even a part of the... Sankhyam is completely a separate part of the Shaddarshanam, about the six different philosophical system. Why Sankhyam is important is, with Sankhyam, Sankhyam is the philosophy which discussed the three modes of material nature in depth. Lot of importance given, and three modes of material nature comes from Sankhyam. That is the reason if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see after Bhikshugita, we have got Sankhyam, and right after Sankhyam, the next chapter is three modes of material nature, the way it is structured. So two chapters after Bhikshugita is reference to Sankhyam, and Sankhyam's input into Vedantam is this three modes of nature. Three modes of nature in Vedantam also accept that. There is no problem there. Vedavyasa Maharshi accepts three modes of nature, although it has come from Kavila Maharshi. But because what is acceptable, Vedavyasa has taken. Therefore, Vedantam accepts three modes of nature, and because Vedantam accepts, others also accept. All Vaishnavam, Shaivam, all traditions accept three modes of nature. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. So, because of this contribution of the three modes of nature from Sankhyam, Sankhyam is also accepted into Bhagavatam. You can see how it is. Bhagavatam is not one philosophy like that. It is a combination like in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavatam is also various rishis, darshanam they call it, various rishis philosophical concept has been pulled into Bhagavatam. Patanjali's Yogam, Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedantam, Jnanamargam, or Kabila Maharshi's Sankhyam. All that you find, Dvaitam is there, Vishishta Dvaitam is also there. Everything is there in the Bhagavatam. And immediately after that, Krishna has brought in the last part of the Bhagavatam, which is Ailagidam, Ila's story. It's a very interesting story. And if you look into deeper side of that story, you can see why Krishna has spoken that, there, at that point in time. in this world, we have this identity, male and female, isn't it? Male and female identity is there. In reality, we are neither male nor female. This is the difficulty. But due to the body, we are in this trouble. It is a trouble because attraction for the male to female and female to male is very, very strong. And Krishna has decided to put forward this strong identity that as long as you are in the body, either male or female, you are in trouble. Till you move out of this identity, one way or the other, you will find it difficult in spiritual life. This will come, problem will come. And Krishna brought that personality, Puruvasa. What a great person he was, such a great soul. Not only that, Krishna says, his own ancestor he is, isn't it? If you look into lunar dynasty, it begins from Puruvasa. Puruvasa is the first person from whom lunar dynasty started, where Krishna appeared. So Krishna has a special reason to say this. Why? Puruvasa had big problem in this aspect, relationship with a very powerful emperor and a great king he was, that everybody respected him. Indra respected him, and a great fighter, warrior, everything. But when it came to this topic, Puruvasa had a big problem. So Krishna is saying that this issue is not only with Puruvasa. Anyone who is in a male body or female body, as long as in that body, you got to accept this difficulty, what everyone has to face in life. So Puruvasa, as you know, that his interesting birth, how he was born, Sudyumna, it is in the 9th canto, 1st chapter. That story is there, Puruvasa's story. Sudyumna was there, and Sudyumna had due to some prarabdham. That's all they are saying there. Some prarabdham in that person's life. That he had to, first it started with the birth itself. Then the king wanted a son, and the wife wanted a daughter. The rishis were engaged in the sacrifices, something like the Sharada Maharaja Putrakameshti. Similar sacrifice they were doing to have a child. They didn't have children for a long time. So to have a child, they performed the sacrifice, and the Vasishtha Maharshi and other rishis, they have chanted the mantra. And this sacrifice was going on inside a forest. And they have chanted the mantra, and the water, holding that water which they have chanted the mantra, they poured into a pot and kept it there. Can you imagine, in the night, the king felt thirsty. King felt thirsty. Everyone was sleeping, it was dark. And he was searching where he could find some water to drink. He didn't take notice of this, that this water was kept for this purpose. He went and saw the water was there in the pot. He was so thirsty, he took it and drank it. What happened? He became pregnant. Can you imagine the twist of the destiny, how it can work in this world? And naturally, Vasishtha Maharshi talks about that. Before that is happening, and then he said, here what happened was, the king was there, but the water what was kept in the pot, that was in the case of Yuvanashya and Mandhala.
Yeah, yeah.
This, in this case, what happened was, the water that was kept in the pot, that next day morning, after the child was born, after the everything was, sacrifice happened, child was born, it was a daughter. The king said that time has changed so much that the rishis have lost their power in chanting the hymns. So it was then that the Vasishtha Maharshi said, why do you say like that? So the king said to them that I have wanted a son. How come the daughter was born from this relationship? So Vasishtha said, you have said that, but the queen asked for a daughter, and we thought it really wanted the daughter. So we have made everything according to that. We chanted the mantra and the daughter was born. So if you want that it should be a son, we can change her to a son. By now the child is almost 6-7 months. This rice feeding ceremony, annaprashanam and all is already over, and now we are talking about changing the sex of the child. And imagine they were capable of doing that even. That's how they were expert at it. So he said that we will change it. So Vasishtha Maharshi goes and performs some penances, and Lord Shiva says to him, I can do one thing, we will change him to a male form, but it can't be permanent. You can have both, 6 months man, 6 months woman, like that. This blessing was given, 6 months man, 6 months woman. The king, they said, okay, that's fine. Then the child was made it like that. So when he was the male form, he was called Sudyumna. When he was in the female form, he was called Ila. So when he was in the male form, he goes for the hunting into the forest. And in the forest, it so happened he ended up in a place where Lord Shiva and Sri Parvati was conducting their life. They were living there, Ilavrata Varsham. So when they got there, what happened was that everyone turned into female form. So Sudyumna also became female form. And again it has become another problem now. So including the horses and the people who were hunting, they all became female. Horses also became female. So Sudyumna became female. Everything. So what to do now? So again Vasishtha Maharshi talks to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, I can't do anything about it because I have given this benediction to Sri Parvati. Anyone who comes here will become female. But I will give you one concession again. I can make him 1 month man and 1 month woman. In a sort of arrangement like that was given to them. So they have accepted that. So you can imagine, 1 month he is a prince. That time he has got a wife. 1 month he is a princess, and that time she has got a husband. This varied on for a while, and people started saying, what kind of king have we got? People won't leave it, isn't it? So they started saying that we can't have a situation like this. And they started talking about it, and when it became unbearable, Sudyumna said, I don't want either of these things. I can't take this anymore. People are talking so bad about it. He went to the forest. Very clearly, Vedavya says there, Prarabdham can work. Prarabdham won't let you go. He was meant to suffer like this. Born in a very, very wealthy Kshatriya family, all facilities in life, but didn't want to live in this world because of this incident. 1 month man, 1 month woman. When he was woman, this Sudyumna was woman for a month. At that time, she had a relation. She went and married Buddha. Buddha married this Ila. And from then, this son was born. Who? Puriravasa. This is Puriravasa's birth story. So, look at the life of these two personalities. Pururava's father is Buddha. Buddha also didn't have any purity in his birth. You know that. That when his moon, Chandra, he had a relationship with Brihaspati's wife. Brihaspati's wife was Tara. Chandra one day went and told, Chandra was a very beautiful, good-looking person. Tara somehow got attracted to it, to that form. Chandra says to Tara, you come with me. She went with him. She went with him. Brihaspati went and told Chandra, send her back. Chandra said, no, she has come with me. She's going to stay here. And he's a disciple, is saying to the guru. This is the interesting thing. So she's not coming back. She's staying here. He said. Brihaspati also didn't know how to handle the situation. Meanwhile, they decided to sort it out physically. It became a war-like situation. So all the demigods took Brihaspati's side, their spiritual master, isn't it? And a lot of demons immediately went into the other side, to the moon, to support him. Lord Shiva also got involved in that. Finally, Brahma also came down and they told moon, Chandra, to send her back. And Tara said, Brihaspati told Tara, go back to Brihaspati, Brihaspati, she was going. On the way while going back, they found out that Tara was pregnant. So Brahma asked Tara, whose child is that? And Tara won't reply. So what happened then? The child was born. When they got to the Brihaspati's place, the child was born. When the child was born, Brihaspati saw the child. Child was a very beautiful child. Extremely beautiful. Not only that, looked very intelligent also. So Brihaspati wanted the child. Meanwhile, Moon said, no, it's my child. I want the child back. Tara won't answer anything. Tara kept quiet. That time, demigods have got one capacity. They can have the baby when they want it. This is their special power they have got. So Buddha suddenly grew up very soon. So Buddha asked the mother, why are you keeping quiet? Tell whose son is I am. The child started asking the mother, Tara. So Tara told Brahma, it is Chandra's son, not Brihaspati's son. So that's how Chandra took Buddha with him. Chandra took Buddha with him and it was Chandra's son. Buddha was extremely intelligent. It comes the word Buddhi, comes from him. Buddha comes the word Buddhi. So this Buddha, naturally, because of all these complications in the birth between Brihaspati and Chandra, Buddha later on fell in love with this Ila when Sudyumna was the female form. And from there, Pururavas was born. So what they say is Janmashuddhi. Janmashuddhi means when your birth is coming from all these complicated situations. It's called there is impurities in the birth itself, not in the proper way it should have happened. So that is why this Pururavas had problem like this with him. And somehow he came in the family in this way. And therefore Pururavas got attracted to Urvashi. And Urvashi and Pururavas had Urvashi was living in the Brahmalokam with Lord Brahma, and Indra and others also were entertaining her. She was a great personality. Among all the women, she is the most beautiful among Urvashi. Urvashi was cursed by Mitravarana once that you go and live in the earthly planet and with the human beings. It's a curse for her for a year or something like that. So she was thinking, but she was given the option when to go and live. 1 year punishment like thing for her. So she saw Pururavas with Indra when he came to fight the battle there in the heavenly planets. And she got attracted to Pururavas. She decided, if I have to stay with someone among the human species, I don't mind staying with Pururavas, because Pururavas was so good looking and in any way, every way very attractive in his nature, courage, everything. So she comes to live with Pururavas here, but she put some conditions to him when she came, that I'll be staying only this long, and there'll be so many things, that I'll only take ghee, nothing else, that's my main diet, only ghee, imagine. Things like that, because in the heavenly planets they have a lifestyle different. Somehow or the other, Pururavas and Urvashi got together and they lived here. Children were born from that, and finally one day Urvashi decided to go back. While going back, when Urvashi left, Pururavas was heartbroken. Krishna says there, in the Bhagavatam you have to read that, that this relationship between man and woman is like that, he says. If you're not careful and if you don't understand that relationship properly, it can destroy anybody. Anybody, both sides, he is warning both the male and the female, both. And that is why this Aila Geetam, which is the last of the four, we have got Dattatraya Geetam, Hamsa Geetam, Bhikshu Geeta and Aila Geeta. Four Geetas in the Ekadasha Skandam. This Aila Geetam's beauty is this, that it wakes you up in this world. How, if you are not careful with the, because by our spiritual identity, we are neither male nor female. We are consciousness, isn't it? Pure consciousness we are. We are not male or female. So, till we come to that state, this danger is always there in life. With the, what Aila Geeta is talking about. Even if my great ancestor Krishna says, Pururavas, even he had suffered due to this identification with the body. And finally, he sings a song, like Bhikshu sings a song, Aila sings a song, and that is called Aila Geeta. That's called Aila Geeta, which we have to cover sometime later. So, Bhikshu Geeta, then the Sanghyam, then the modes of nature, and then Aila Geeta. This is the sequence in the Bhagavatam, in the Ekadasham, which we have to still cover all this. Bhikshu Geeta, Sanghyam, Trigunam, that is three modes of material nature, and then finally Aila Geeta. After that, there is one important chapter in the Bhagavatam, in the Ekadasha Skandam, which is the Kriya Yoga. Kriya Yoga. Kriya Yoga means what? Deity worship. Now, if you read that chapter and if you understand that chapter, you can see how difficult is this deity worship. Only you have to read that 27th chapter once and understand the 27th chapter, which is all about deity worship. Deity worship is not as easy as we think. Krishna is talking about, it's coming from Krishna himself, so you can imagine. Vaidhigam, Tantrigam, Mishram. Three types of deity worship he talks about there. And it has taken thousands and thousands of years to perfect this deity worship, to come to, to get to that standard which is performed in many, many famous temples. And that requires such an amount of dedication. People qualified for doing that. And the ingredients, what is necessary. And the sacrifice one has to make for that. And it will have its effect also, benefit also, if it's done, executed properly. And the amount of books available for that. Prabhupada knew all these limitations very well. Sometimes he will say this. He says, what deity worship, or what our own deity worship, he used to say this. Reason being, but he still encouraged people to do deity worship for the reason that he said, at least your mind won't get distracted from the in Maya, in otherwise. So, to keep ourselves focused in spiritual life, we engage in deity worship. But he knew our own limitations in deity worship. Because generally, deity worship, if you want to do it properly, you got to catch them when they are young. 4 or 5 years old, you have to start training them up. Not at the age of 50 and 60. You get them to today. By then, they are already gone, finished. By age of 5, you catch them, train them up for about 10, 15 years. That's how much time it takes to train them properly in deity worship. Which you will see when you read that chapter. In that 27th chapter, Kriya Yogam, when you study that, Kriya Yoga means this, deity worship it is basically. That chapter will reveal the difficulty, how disciplined you have to be in the body, in the mind, in the senses, in every level, intelligence and all that, to perfect that deity worship. It is so difficult. And that is why we will discuss that chapter, but not with the idea that any of us will become good at deity worship. That's not going to happen now in this life. It's too late now to do that. But only with the understanding that the science behind the deity worship. Even though Krishna says there, if there is proper bhakti, I will accept it. He says there, I will accept it. And there are many things he has spoken. But the principle involved in the deity worship is very high. And when you become very, very serious about the deity worship, you require that amount of discipline and commitment. Otherwise, it's not going to work. This is why in the past, deity worship was more happened in the temples only, because by the time you bring it home, it changes its nature again, because at home you have everything going on, isn't it? Viharam is going on and all sorts of other activities also happening at home. So therefore, at home it wasn't that much encouraged, but then what happened was when the people have started moving around and people start living in different places, deity worship started, everyone started doing at home. And it has become a later practice like that. But strictly it was mostly centered around the temple. And people was expected to come to the temple and engage in the deity worship there. But those involved in the deity worship, they require a very high degree of training and a high amount of commitment for that. And that's what you will see when you study that chapter, 27th chapter. After that, there is another important chapter which is an essence or summary of the whole what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. In one chapter, Krishna has spoken again to Uddhava, which is the 28th chapter. 28th chapter in the Bhagavad. Then after that, there is not a lot spoken. One chapter about Bhakti, Krishna again says to Uddhava, take to the Bhakti process. And finally, Krishna departs from the world. This is what we have got in the Ekadasha Skandam remaining there. So, in the Bhagavad Gita we have now this chapter, which is the 16th chapter, and then we have got 17th and 18th, two more chapters. So, coming back to this, I was saying that satyam, truthfulness, isn't it? So, truthfulness, we have to always remember this, that truthfulness is Atma. Soul is truthfulness. Truthfulness means always seeing in relationship with the truth, with the soul. Soul is the truth. Everything else is a fact in this world. Whatever we read, hear, listen to, it's a fact, but it's not the truth. Everything in relationship with Vyavaharam is a fact, but it's not the truth. So, and the reason Krishna mentions there that if that what you hear or what you have seen, if it's creating anger, lust, desire, greed in people's mind, it is not truth, it's mithya. It is a fact, but it is a false thing. That clarity is necessary. Otherwise we will get absorbed in the vyavaharika satyam and start thinking, oh, I've been always truthful. No, we are not always truthful. We are not truthful for this reason only, that if our whatever we speak, whatever we do, if it is causing ragam, dvesham, aversion and hate in others' mind, then it is not truth. It is a fact, but it's not the truth. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. So, because it separates us from Krishna, further, it is mithya. Mithya. On the other hand, something that has not happened, but if it is creating bhakti and love for Krishna, all that is truth. That's difficult, isn't it, to digest sometimes, because of our strong attachment to truth. Fact, that is what it happens. So this is how satyam is defined in the Bhagavad Gita. Satyam is defined like this. And you will see there, when it comes to speaking, in the 17th chapter, Krishna again defines truth. Have you noticed that? If you look at the 17th chapter, there's a verse there, 17:15 it is. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat swadhyayam abhyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchyate. 17:15. That's the interesting statement there. Krishna saying, anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyam priyahitam chayat. So, the same satyam, where Krishna has spoken in one way, more to the truthful side of it, and here Krishna is saying that anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyam priyam hitam chayat. That means, when somebody is speaking something, if the person who is hearing, if his words is creating lust, anger, or greed, or illusion, or pride, or competition, or anything like that, that is not satyam. That's how Krishna says. If you create any of those emotions in the other person's heart, that Krishna is saying that anudvegakaram vakyam, Krishna's definition of satyam. We have to connect all these things, otherwise there will be conflict. You will read one thing in the 16th chapter and then you will think 17th chapter Krishna is saying like this. So that shouldn't happen. That is the reason I'm saying this, both chapters to take it. That the that whatever we speak normally, it should not create any of these emotions in the another person's heart. Kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madham, matsaryam. Any of those things, if it creates in someone else, then that is not satyam. That's the way Krishna is saying it. So practically what Krishna is saying is, whatever we speak, it should have a healing power in other. It should heal the other person's heart, or consoling power. Consoling or the healing power. And for there are certain people who must have in life. Acharya must have a healing power and whatever he speaks. Acharyas must have a healing power in whatever they speak to others. Spiritual master must have a healing power. He shouldn't speak in such a way that it hurts somebody. Rather, speak in such a way it should actually give relief to the person who is listening to him. Wife should have that healing power when she speaks to the husband. She is expected to have that healing power while talking to the husband. I don't know whether it's happening or not, that's another thing. But it should be. That's the way it is. Mother must have. Mother to the child must have the healing power. We can see that's naturally there. And then the physician must have. You can see this when the doctor sees the patient, and if the doctor is very relaxed and he says to you that everything will be alright, it's only a question of time, or these things will work, it gives you a little relief inside for the patient. Whereas if the doctor himself says to you there's not much hope, then what will happen? What will happen then when the doctor says to you like this, that there is no point in doing anything about it, anyway we'll give it a try. They'll say like, he says like that. No. Even if it is hopeless situation, he shouldn't speak like that. So the doctor, and similarly mother, the wife, spiritual master and the acharya, all of them should only speak in that way. Anudvegakaram vakyam. This is all shastram, smriti. It is all from the smriti, all this is spoken. So, acharya, when he talks to the disciple, at that time, the shishya, the disciple, should not have any conflict inside, no disturbance inside. That's what is expected from him. He should come out from that. In such a way, he should speak that he shouldn't feel any conflict inside. That is one thing. And ragam, dvesham, kamam, krotham. These are the different aversion, hate, attachment and aversion, and lust and anger. All these things should not happen. So when spiritual master is instructing the disciple, tattvabadesham, and instructing the tattvam, at that time it should create shanti, peace inside, anandam, bliss inside. That's what's necessary while it's being spoken. These are important things. So similarly, in the other way also, that the husband who is working hard or whole day he had a very battle in the world, when he comes home, if the wife also is not in argumentative mood or ends up in quarrel, that's not good, isn't it? So that's another thing why they say like that. So, so particularly these people, mother, wife, spiritual master, acharya, doctor, all of them should follow that verse. This verse. Which one? Anudvegakaram vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat. That's it. Similarly, doctor. doctor also, his healing power, a lot depends. There are many good doctors like that. I don't know whether you have come across anybody like that. So sometimes there are good doctors who, even though they knew the situation is not very hopeful, they will still say, give you all the hope. Just by hearing them, you feel that you feel better, isn't it? That's a doctor's nature. Some doctors, they're not very good with this treatment, but they're good with speaking nicely. You will see this even in NHS also, you will see this sometimes. Some of those consultants, they have that way of speaking in such a way not to create any anxiety in your mind, because you're going there with all your body in tatters, seeing, finding any hope possibility. So, main purpose is there that the illness, what the patient has got, to make the patient aware of the gravity of the illness, but spoken in such a way that he does not feel that it is not unsurmountable, it is possible to cure. In such a way it has to be presented. And while the spiritual master also, while talking to the disciple, is like that. What is he saying? He says, there is no ignorance in you. There's nothing wrong with you. You are a perfect living entity inside, soul, isn't it? Similarly, doctor, one side he is giving the medicine, treatment, everything. But if the doctor himself is not very pleasant to deal with, if he gives you a very bad vibrations, if he says to you that the illness is very serious and all that, then it's a lie. The reality is that doctor must say to the patient that the disease is not serious. There is no illness. There is no disease. Nothing to worry about it. Reason is, actually there is no disease. Who has got the disease? Body has got the disease. The Atma inside has no disease, isn't it? So to tell someone that you have got disease is wrong. In this way, everything should be looked at this way. From the Shastram, that is how you look at. That is why if the doctor tells you that your disease is not there, it's not a serious one, even if it's serious, he can say that. He's allowed to say that from Shastram. Why Shastram says that? Because disease is only for the body. It's not for the Atma. You are Atma all the time. And he should remain in that state while speaking that. Instead, if he himself makes you saying that, gives you a huge list of medicines, and then tell you all the scans you do, all the and make you nervous like that, then it's not very good. That means he is on the false platform. So, that you are sick, physically it is a fact that you are sick, but it's not the truth. Again, the same problem. While talking about Satyam, we said, in the same way, physically it's a truth that you are sick, but it's not a truth. Why? Because it has nothing to do with the self. Atma is transcendental to everything. In English, they say these two words, isn't it? Fact and the truth. Fact and the truth. You are hungry, it is a fact, but it's not the truth. You see? You are hungry, it's a fact, but it's not the truth. Who has got the hunger? The body has the hunger. Isn't it? So, in everything, we have to keep seeing things in this way. Otherwise, we won't understand truth. Suppose you don't follow this principle, that means you are never truthful. You are always lying. This is Krishna's point. In this chapter, when Krishna is saying about truthfulness, ahimsa, satyam, he says, isn't it? When we talk about satyam, it is on this basis Krishna is talking about satyam, truthfulness. That anything related to the body, it may be a fact, but it is not the truth. It's not related to you. The self is never affected by anything what's happening to the body. That is why in the Shastram they keep repeating this again and again and again to make us aware. The truth is, the word truth is a nature of the soul. Soul is the truthful thing in this whole thing, creation. Everything else is false. It's not a fact. It's not a fact. So, what we call as mithya. Mithya. Satyam opposite is mithya. Mithya is the fact. Mithya is the fact. And it is not asatyam. It is fact. So, what is the difference? It can be a fact because you can see sometimes things, and because it's your eyes, you are deciding it's a fact or not. Is it not? With the eyes, what you say? You say you saw an accident in the street. It's a fact. You've seen the accident. But it may not be the truth because in reality, it hasn't happened. That's how Vyavaharam and Adhyatmam. Adhyatmam and Vyavaharam, you have to always see separately. In Vyavaharam, so many things happen in this world. And we have to learn where to leave it also in Vyavaharam. We have to learn where to leave it. In Adhyatmam, you have to always hold on to the truth. Otherwise, you won't stay in Adhyatmam, you will fall into Vyavaharam. This is why Krishna is saying in the 28th chapter, Parasubhava Karmani na Prashamsri nam Nindari. Why? This is the reason. We'll come to that. When we discuss that chapter, I will explain that a lot more. So, what is hitam? What gives a shanti or anandam or bliss? Whatever that is, and whatever that's spoken, if it is creating that effect in you, it is truth. That's why when we study Puranam, there's a lot of things in there which you may not fully able to accept. Because is it truth, you may ask. People are asking still this question. Is this all truth, what is spoken in the Puranam? As far as authorities, acharyas are concerned, it's all a truth. You have to accept it that way. Why? Because if you study Puranam, if it is developing the good qualities in a person, it is a truth. Whether historically it has happened or not, that is not important. That's not important. Therefore, Shastram is truth, history is fact. History, you are reporting a lot of things, but it's not truth. It's only a fact. It's not truth. And fact cannot help you. Only truth can help you. This is why Rishis didn't encourage studying history. You see their point, their thinking is different than ours. We give importance to history, isn't it? And we are teaching history to the children in the school, college, everywhere. Rishis are saying to us, don't teach history. You're wasting time. It won't change a person. The kind of heavy things what many, many people have done in the past, it's still happening today also, isn't it? So where is the history? What has benefited? Gassing people to death. So I'm saying what Hitler has done, Stalin has done, they're also doing. And it will happen in the future also. It won't change. So studying history doesn't help. Therefore, they never gave any importance to history. What they are saying to us is, you can see how Rishi's mind works, their thoughts, completely on a different level. They always thought what is good for us, what will help us. Therefore, when they wrote Puranams and gave it to us, they made it in such a way that eventually it should benefit us. If it changes our life, then that is a fact. Because result is more important than historical verification of the incidents. Has no meaning. It doesn't help. This is the primary principle in this business. So, Krishna is saying here that anything for self-realization you can take from the Puranam. Whatever that helps you. And if it is not helping you something, you can reject it also. That's also allowed. That is why I was mentioning these few things. Yudhishthira Maharaj's truthfulness. Isn't it? He stuck with the truth a lot and he had to pay heavy price for that at the end. And truthfulness and religiosity, he was very much into it, spiritual principles, isn't it? What happened was, he did not take Krishna into confidence. Instead, he stuck with his dharmam and truthfulness. Arjuna, on the other hand, Arjuna took Krishna into confidence. He depended on Krishna more than the truthfulness and other things. Is it not? So this incident happened when Janamejaya asked this question, who Parikshit's son. He says that when Yudhishthira Maharaj was playing the chess with Duryodhana, He asked the question to Krishna, why did you not help him? Why did you not help him? He said, and he was so stupid that the Yudhishthira pawned everything and kingdom including, and then Draupadi also, and finally it all ended up in a total disaster, isn't it? And he had to go to the forest. And while being in the forest, then Durvasa Maharshi came there and asked for a feast. That time Krishna protected Draupadi by accepting that spinach from Draupadi's cooking, isn't it? So there you helped, Janaji asked this question, you helped him, you helped Draupadi that way, why did he not help Yudhishthira in the same way? Krishna says to Draupadi at that time that I wanted to help everybody. I helped Draupadi, I helped Arjuna also. I was his charioteer, isn't it? As a charioteer I helped him. But Yudhishthira I couldn't help because he didn't ask for it. This is what Krishna answered. He didn't. This is in the Mahabharata. He didn't ask me, so I didn't help. All he had to do, even look at Duryodhana, how clever he was. When they knew that when he invited Yudhishthira for the gambling, Duryodhana said, then I'm not good at it, my uncle will play and introduce Shakuni into it. And I was waiting, saying, thinking that Yudhishthira will call me on his behalf to play. Instead, he had so much faith in himself. Yudhishthira had so much faith in himself. And he decided to go and play. Actually, I was waiting, Krishna says, to get involved. And then this game would not have lasted very long, he said, Shakuni's games. So you can see here, when Krishna is saying that the important principle is Krishna consciousness above everything else. And without Krishna consciousness, even if you have high religious principles, it's no use. Whether it is truthfulness, charity, or compassion, or mercy, or whatever qualities you may have, if there is no proper Krishna consciousness inside, then these things also is of no significance. So that's the point there. So, Duryodhana had the higher intelligence to see somehow or the other to avoid playing directly against Yudhishthira. Instead he said that Shakuni will play. So that is important thing. So Yudhishthira Maharaj had this pride in him. I can play. I am the king, I am a Kshatriya, I should play and win this battle. So if had he handed it over to Krishna, probably it would not have happened in that way. And that is a lesson for all of us. It's a lesson for all of us. Instead of we playing the game, we have to allow Krishna to play the game. Otherwise this will happen. Because we are playing the game, we are always finding it difficult, isn't it? And if you allow Krishna to do the things properly, then there won't be any problem. It will be a success in everything. But that is the principle what is spoken there. So Satyam, when Krishna is saying here, Ahimsa Satyam, that Satyam mainly refers to the spiritual truth, Atma. It is only in reference to that Satyam is spoken there. Satyam is spoken there. So because as far as Krishna is concerned, there is only one purpose for which we have been given a human body. That is for realizing the self. Not making money, not to run big projects, not to earn a big name, not to get a lot of followers, not to enjoy life. None of them is the goal. Purpose of giving a body was for this purpose. Just like river has only one goal, to reach the ocean, isn't it? To reach the sea. Similarly, every jiva in this world also has only one destination, to go back to Krishna. To go back to Krishna. And if you allow that to happen, then you are truthful. If you live in that way, you are truthful. That means keeping the whole goal as a purpose of life is to realize the self. And if you tune your life in that way and surrender to Krishna and live in a particular way, that ultimately keeping that as always the destination and live in this world in that way, then you can say you are truthful. Otherwise you're not. This is the underlying principle behind all these things when Krishna is saying there. Ahimsa, Satyam Akrodham, త్యాగశాంతి అపైశ్వనం దయాభూతేషు అలోలుప్తం మార్దవం హ్రీ అచాపలం దాట్ సత్యం ఈస్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ దట్ యూ కెన్ సే టు కృష్ణ ఐఎమ్ ట్రూత్ఫుల్ యాజ్ లాంగ్ ఎస్ యు ఆర్ ట్రైంగ్ టు రియలైజ్ ద ట్రూత్ టు ద సెల్ఫ్ ఇఫ్ దాట్ గోల్ ఈస్ నాట్ దేర్ ఇన్ లైఫ్ దెన్ యు ఆర్ నాట్ ట్రూత్ఫుల్ నో మ్యాటర్ హౌ ట్రూత్ఫుల్ యు ఆర్ లైక్ యుధిష్ఠిర వాస్ యు ఆర్ స్టిల్ నాట్ ట్రూత్ఫుల్ యాజ్ ఫార్ ఎస్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ కన్సర్న్ సో But Krishna says, to Bhishma, Krishna says, I won't take the weapon. He said, no. And finally, when Bhishma really started fighting heavily, Krishna got up from there and says to Arjuna that you're not fighting properly, he said, and took his wheel, Sudarshanam, and jumped out of the chariot. Isn't it? At that time, Arjuna says to Krishna that you have taken this vow, that you will be very truthful, that you won't take the weapon, isn't it? And this vow you have taken in the Kurukshetram. And Kurukshetram, you said, in the Bhagavad Gita, is Dharma Kshetram, isn't it? Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre. It says in the first verse, isn't it? So, how did Krishna answer that question? When Arjuna said this, he says, Tyaja dharmam adharmam cha, ubhe satyamrade tyaja, ubhe satyamrade tyaktva, yena tyajasi tatyaja. That is the important message there. Krishna's answer to that question. You took a vow like that and now you are acting like this, totally opposite to that. Arjuna could not understand that. He says to him, Teja dharma adharmam cha. He says that who is truthful in this world? Krishna's answer is one who has no pride inside. Whole ahankaram has gone from inside. He is the only truthful person in this world. One who has no Ahangaram inside. He's the only truthful person inside. And he says here that for the purpose of realizing the truth, realizing the self, Krishna is saying, I have spoken Bhagavad Gita and I have spoken Ekadasha Skandam. Both. In the Bhagavatam, Ekadasham and in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, that was spoken only for one purpose, to realize the truth. For those who want to realize the truth. And all of them is the only truth. Krishna says this in the Mahabharata. This is the only truth what I have spoken. And don't look at truth from outside. What I have said this and what I have said that. In my life, Krishna saying, when I am here, he was in this world, I have done so many things. Don't look at everything and start judging me. I have spoken the truth. Take that, what I have spoken as the truth, and follow it through. Because Krishna, Ramachandra and all, they are not bound by truth like the way we are bound. We made all this law, isn't it? Vyavaharam, we created all these laws that we should be truthful and we should be mutually respectful and all that. It's all because we all have got this false ego inside. Krishna and Ramachandra don't have that. They are perfection, isn't it? Perfection comes in the form like Krishna and Ramachandra. So therefore, they are not controlled by these rules what we have created here, who have got false ego. It is only on the operation of this within the platform of false ego, all this truthfulness what we talk about has any meaning. Once you have transcended this material life, material body, who are powerful personalities like them, what they tell us, we have to accept. What they have done here, we shouldn't bother about it. This is the principle. Whatever they have spoken, that is truth. But whatever they have done here, you have no right to evaluate that in the basis of your own vyavaharic principles. You can't apply into that. So, that may be truth, that may not be truth in your eyes. Krishna says this to Arjuna. It may be truth, may not be. So when I took the disc and wanted to kill Bhishma, you cannot no right to say anything about it. Because you are looking at it from your mundane way of the truth. That is not the truth as far as Krishna is concerned. So this question comes up again in the Bhagavatam and Parikshit asked the question to Shukha Brahma Rishi, isn't it? That Krishna who has come to this world and shown the highest principles of spiritual life and religious life were spoken, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and all. How come he had this relationship with the gopis? This question came up, isn't it? So at that time, the answer was there. Shukha Brahma, she told to Parikshit, you can't judge Krishna like that, in that way. Ishwaranam vachasmat satyam, he says. What they speak is always truth. What they do, you don't have to look at it. You have no right to look at that. Like they say, the Lord Shiva drank the poison from Kalagodam, which came from the while churning the ocean. Can you drink? He said to Parikshit. Shiva could do that, but you can't do that. Therefore, their actions, they can do so many things like that. So they are always above our vavahariga satyam. It doesn't apply to them. All you can take from them is what they have told us to do. What Krishna has told us to do, what Ramchandra has told us to do, that's all we can do. We can't look at Ramchandra's life and Krishna's life and start making judgment about it. We have no right to do that. That was Shukha Brahma Rishi's answer to Parikshit. He mentioned that there. So Krishna is saying here, goal here is Sattva Samshuddhi. That's what you're coming back to know. Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi. Sattva Samshuddhi means purification of existence. That is our goal. That's what we need. So in order for that purpose, that means Sattva Samshuddhi is necessary for self-realization. So keeping that goal in the front, we have to live here. If you live like that, Ahimsa, Satyam, Akrodham. Three things mentioned there. Ahimsa, Satyam, Akrodham. If you live like that, then it makes sense. Otherwise, simply saying that, oh, I am truthful, it is no value. Only if it is in connection with self-realization, it means something. It has its effect. That is what you will see there in the 15th chapter, when he mentioned there, Ahimsa, Satyam, Akrodham. Ahimsa, Ahimsanam, Praninam, Pida, Varjanam, Satyam, Apriya, Anrita, Varjitam, Yada, Bhudartha, Vachanam, Akrodham, Pare, Akrishtasya, Upashamanam, Tyagam, Sanyasa, Purvam, Dhanasya, Uttartvam, Shandi, Antakaranasya, Upashamam, Apaishunam, Apishunada, Parasmai, Parirundra, Prakatikaranam, Paishunam, Tadabhavaham, Apaishunam, Daya, Kriba, Bhudeshu, Dukhideshu, Aloluptam, Indriyanam, Vishaya Sannidho, Avikriyaha, Madhavam, Mrududa, Akravriyam, Kri, Lajja, Achabalam, Asadi Prayojane, Vak, Pani, Padadinam, Avyabari, Tutum, Kim, Cha. That says that the important thing, pararendram, that apaishanam, that word, tyagam shandi apaishanam, parasmai pararendra prakatikaranam paishanam, tadabhavam apaishanam. Even somebody is giving you trouble in the vyavaharam, still you are not supposed to get angry with them. Isn't it? So, kamam, krodham, these two words, kopam, krodham, two words. Like he mentions here that a mother gets angry with the child, isn't it? But that is not considered to be anger. Mother getting angry with the child is not anger. Because mother has only one interest behind it, that the child should not get into trouble. And under all circumstances, she has the highest welfare in the mind. Therefore, it's not considered to be anger when the mother gets angry with the child. And similarly, you can't do anything about this. The child will be chastised by the mother if the child is acting in the wrong way. You know, in the modern world, they have a lot of new things, isn't it? Counseling started. They think that counseling is the solution to all the problems. It's happening in many places. You know, in the temple notice board, there's a lot of counseling people are there. You're doing counseling. This is deviation from Krishna consciousness. It's not Krishna consciousness. The reason is that this never existed in the past. Which one? Hospitals for the people like that. Now, everywhere, even in India, in the past, there was no hospitals for mad people. There was no hospitals. They never had any brand means madness, isn't it? So no hospitals for that. So now everywhere, in all the big hospitals, you will see a department called psychiatrist, isn't it? And not only that, even in the schools, they are saying that children must have psychiatrists to advise them, isn't it? So all the children are getting counseling and psychiatrist treatment. So there was once a news in the paper. What happened was that a child went to his friend's house. So there was one bicycle there. You can see this in the YouTube, it's there. They put that. What happened was, the child went to other friend's house and he saw a bicycle there. It was one of these modern ones, something. He got attracted to it. He went and sat on that and he won't come out of it. He said, "I want this," he said. "It's mine," he said. So after a while the parents went there and they told the child that you come out of the child, it is his bike, you should give it back. You won't give it back. So you can't beat the child in America. If you beat the child, he will call the number 999 and police will come. So, and they will take the parents to the prison for beating the child. The rule is family like that. There's so many interesting rules in America also like that. So finally, he said that the parents thought that the only answer is to call a psychiatrist to tell the child. The psychiatrist came with his assistant. They both came there. And what did he do? He went, initially he didn't go to the child first. He went to the parents and spoke to the parents for a few minutes and then prepared his bill for the visit and handed over to him, to the parents first. And the child is seeing all these things, sitting on the bike. And while paying the bill, collecting the payment from the father, the child was watching all these things. And the parents could not get the child out of the bike. Psychiatrist went up to the child and told him, something he's told the child in his ears. The child got down from the bike straight away and came out from there. So at that time, father and mother asked the psychiatrist, "What did you tell him, the child?" So they say, he said, psychiatrist said, "I won't tell you that," he said. Afterwards, the assistant asked him, "What did you say to him?" He said, psychiatrist said, "Which mantra did you give it to him in the years?" He said, "That I'm a professional person. I told him like that. You have seen me, I've taken the money from them. And I've come very seriously. If you don't get down from the bike, I will know how to get you out." And I told him that I will beat him. And I frightened him out. He said he got down from there. "So I'll beat you up heavily if you don't get out from the bike." He said, if the father or mother has done this, it's not anger. It's not anger. Because for the sake of the child, the parents have to do that. And there is no hate in that. There is no hate in that. So, and child also will not feel any distress over that if the parents have done that. But because the law we have created like this, in this way, that children should not be touched and children should not be beaten and all that. Of course, it went in a wrong way and therefore we have a lot of problems also. Anyway, Krishna is saying here that this krodham, anger, comes when you feel that what you wanted to have or you wanted to get, you didn't get it. That's when you get angry, isn't it? Krodham comes like that. When you wanted something and you didn't get it, that's when krodham comes. So that is why Krishna mentions the Dhyayedo Vishaya Pumsan earlier in the second chapter. Sangaste Shubha Jayade. Sangal Sanjayade Kaman Kamal Krodhobi Jayade. That verse. So from that there this happens. How does anger comes? Because first of all I have developed a desire in me, a desire for something. And at that time or something like that, money or position or some, whatever it may be, if I didn't get it, the emotion that comes inside it's me is krodham or hate. So it is because of this krodham only all kinds of problems comes out from that, isn't it? So one who is performing sadhana in spiritual life, the two emotions, particularly krodham and matsaryam, competition, very dangerous things, getting anger and getting this competition with somebody, and that is considered to be the most difficult things to overcome also. So Acharya mentions here that even if others give you trouble, don't get krodham. Move away from the scene. That is the way. How Bhagavatam says that is that Bhudesheshu Tothaikya Smriti Samadhigado Nathiya Ryoto Nachel, that while dealing with in the Vyavaharam also, Twal Prayamam, always Krishna in heart. Interests of Krishna in the heart. Interest of Krishna in the heart. Therefore, love for Krishna. Tulga Maitri. If you find devotees who have freedom, who have that inspiration in you, giving you that inspiration in spiritual life, to go in the spiritual path all the time, Tulga Maitri. Prayamam to Krishna. That means love for Krishna. Friendship with those devotees who inspires you in spiritual life, who is guiding you all the time in the right direction. Jadam Adishu. Tol Prema Tolga Maitri. Jadam Adishu. Adishu means those who are innocent, ignorant people. Jadam Adishu Kripa. To them you have to show compassion to them, because they don't know things. Somebody is doing in ignorance things. So you have to show compassion to them. But there is the last one, Krishna says, Dulsu Bhuyad Uvecha. There is one category who will always give you trouble in spiritual life, enviousness and things like that. Due to that, they will try to do best they can to destroy your life in every way possible. To them, Krishna says, Upecha. Upecha means total indifference to them. You got to learn that. Otherwise, it is very difficult. We won't have any discrimination properly. Some people will act in that way. That Dvilsa Bhuyad Upeksha. Upeksha is the only thing you can do there. Move away from them. For your own benefit, self-benefit, interest, you have to do that. It's nothing. It's not that you hate them. There is no hate inside. What it is that somehow or the other, their goal is different than our goal. That is the problem. They have different goals. And due to wrong goals they have selected, they victimize you for that. That shouldn't happen. Because you are holding on to something higher than all these things. You don't want from this vyavaharam to benefit anything. That's not the idea behind it. Isn't it? So that is why. Premam bhudeshu tudhaikya smriti samadhigato nadhigarotu nachel tul premam tulga maitri jadam adishurva dilsu bhuyad upeksha. Dilsu means enviousness. To them, Upeksha. Upeksha is the only way that you can, because you can't deal with them. They are not willing to listen to you, or they won't understand your problem. Dilsu Bhuyad Upeksha. And therefore, this issue is coming all the time, that even when Krishna is saying all these things, you have to keep this also in the mind. Otherwise, it is very difficult. So, for example, suppose somebody has insulted you. If you have very advanced spiritual life, you will accept it because he has done a favor to you by doing that, isn't it? So, I've mentioned a few examples before. Suppose somebody has blasphemed you or criticized you heavily for some reason, what should you do? And because he has done a favor to you by saying that, you have to think yourself, he is insulting my body. He can't insult you, person, isn't it? So, in other words, he has made you again awareness of your own ego inside, abhimanam, pride inside, and he has done you a favor not to allow your pride to build up inside. So that's a favor that he has done. And therefore, at such instances, it makes us to allow us to close it down, that pride within ourselves. And another person if it is talking about you in a bad way, you join him and start talking about badly about yourself, like Pakanath did. Remember, Pakanath was selling fruits. He was not selling fruits, he was walking, he was very hungry. Some fruit vendor was selling fruits. So he couldn't bear anymore, he was so hungry. He decided to take a couple of fruits. The vendor was away from the trolley, whatever he was selling. He picked up a few fruits and ate it. By then the person who was selling the fruits came back and he saw Pakanath eating the fruits. He caught hold of him and beat him up and told him that why you have stolen and all that. So Pakanath says to them, that's exactly I am also saying, he said. Why did he do that? About himself he's saying. Why did he beat him up again, he said. What will he say then? What can he do? So, because he said, that body demanded that I couldn't do anything. I was hungry, I ate it. So, that is the situation that in spiritual life, this is always a problem of these issues will come up. In Kanchi Kamakodipidam, long time ago, at that time, Chandrasekhara Saraswati was the Shankaracharya at that time. And he was well known, but there's always somebody to give you problem also. Somebody wrote a book about him, blaspheming him. What all things he has done wrong, finding fault with the management of the mutt and everything, things like that. So he printed a small booklet. You can see it's happened all the time, isn't it? Nowadays we also print booklets if you want to blast anybody. Then you print booklets and then you sell and they send it to everybody and saying that 100 false, 200 false of this guru, 100 false of that guru, things like that. So it was happening then also. So he printed some booklet saying that this Pitadhipati, about referring to Chandrasekhara Saraswati, that he has done mismanaged funds like this. And lot of false, whatever he has found, he has printed, listed it and printed it. And then what he did? He sent a few copies to the mutt for them to read it. So it came to the mutt. And in the mutt, there were other people also. They got it, they opened the post and they read it, all these things. And they brought it to him. And they says to Chandrasekhara Saraswati that they have printed all these things about you like this. What should we do? He said. So he just said like this, he said. he said, what can we do? He said, if they write like this. So one of them suggested that should we not reply this, all these allegations? He said, no, we won't reply them. What we'll do, he said, ask them how many copies has he printed. You can buy all of it, he said. Bring them all, he said. So the disciples means those associates who were there, they thought that probably if you buy all the copies, then it won't go out to others and it will not cause any further, bad name from that. So anyway, they asked, well, how many copies did they print? They said, you brought all the copies and brought them, 5,000 copies or 10,000, whatever that was. And then Chandrasekhara Saraswati says to them, that when I am traveling, he used to walk around all over the country. He was walking with his danda in the hand and with his assistants he used to walk. And no shoes, slippers, nothing, with barefoot. He used to walk the whole country like that. All the way from Kanjipuram to Satara in Maharashtra, he walked. And similarly, he used to walk to Benares and other places all over. He says, whenever I go in the evening, I will settle down somewhere. And people will come to see him. When they come to see him, give them a copy, he said. Give them all a copy of this. As many copies as possible, you keep it with you. And give them all a copy, he said. And after reading all that, if they find it worthwhile coming to me, they can come. But if they decide they don't want to come, well and good, he said. It's better that they don't come. So it is up to the individual to make that judgment in all these things. We can't say anything about it. The world is like that. And he said, you buy the books and give it free to them. Give it to them free. And that is why he says, asammana tapo vriddhihi, sammana tapo kshayaha. That is how Rishi sees this. What they say is like this. Uddhava asked this in the Ekadasha Skandam to Krishna also, that remember that he says that asammana tabo vuddhihi. That means if somebody insults you and somebody criticizes you, your tapas, if you tolerate it, you become advanced spiritually. And that person, he says here, that asammanad sammanad tapo kshayaha. If somebody glorifies you and if somebody praises you, your tapas will go. So tapas increases when someone gets criticizes you or gets heavy with you or blasts you or blasphemy you, your tapas will go up. And asammana tapo kshayaha. Instead, if somebody is praising you all the time and somebody is always glorifying you, your tapas will go down. This is the way it works. So that is what he followed, Chandrasekhar. Saraswati says that my tapas should not go down. Rather, let they who have thrown at me these complaints about me, let them have it. So, it is at this point Uddhava asked the question in Bhagavadam also to Krishna, that anything is possible to bear, but very difficult to tolerate the criticism from people, isn't it? And that is most difficult thing, Uddhava said. You remember that when we finished Bhagavadam last time? That is where it ended, isn't it? Bhagavadam ended like that. That is the just verse before Bhikshu Gita. That is where the whole thing came up. So, and it is physically and mentally very difficult to tolerate that. If you look into Bhagavatam, those verses, that's an important verse also in the Bhagavatam. And that's where we will start now, in the Uddhava, that instructions, where he mentioned that, he said that, that the 22nd chapter, I think. He says, 57 if you look, Kshiptam, that is in the verse, 22nd chapter, 11, 22, 57. Kshipto, avamanitam, asadbi, pralabdham, asuitothava, taadidam, sannibaddhova, vrityava, parihavida. Nishtido, mutrido va ajneer, bahudevam pragambida, shreyaskama, krichragata, almanam udharet. Two important verses. Before, when Krishna said this to Uddhava, what did Uddhava say? Uddhava says, Uddhava vacha, yadaivam anubudhyayam, vadano vadadam vara, su dussaham imam manye, almanyam asadadikramam. Vidushamabhi vishwalman, pragrdirhi beliyasi, hrade dhva adharma niradhan, shantamste charanalaya. That was the answer, Uddhava's question. It is from this Bhikshu Gita came out. You can see how difficult it is. Uddhava is saying this. Such a great personality, isn't it, Uddhava? Uddhava is saying this to Krishna. Krishna says to Uddhava that Kshittam avamanitam asadbi pralabdho asuitothava taadida sannibaddhova vrityava parihavida. That if somebody has insulted you or spoken asat to you, treated you in a bad way, pralabdham, due to envy, asuitothava, taadidaha, he beats you up, sannibaddhova, or ties you down somewhere, va vrityava parihavida, even if you destroy your livelihood. These things happen all the time in life. It's not only now, it's happening all the time. So he says, taadida sannibaddhova vrityava parihavida, even if your livelihood is, somebody destroys you, decided to get rid of you or cause problems to you, then that's one verse. Then he says, nishtido mutrido va. If somebody passes urine on you and makes you feel insulted, va ajnir bahudaivam pragambidaha. Due to ajnanam, in many ways they have tortured you, somewhere or the other. If you want to advance in spiritual life, shreyas kama, then krichragada, almana udharet. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, there is no choice here. You have to tolerate. You have to tolerate. This is what is expected in spiritual life. Shreyaskama Krishagada Almana Almana Mudharet. You have to elevate yourself. There is nobody else going to do that for us. You can study Shastram, you can speak from the Shastram, but when it comes to practical life, it is our duty to do what is the right thing. And the right thing is what Krishna is saying to us, right? So Krishna said this, and what did Uddhava say? Uddhava says, I can struggle, accept anything what you say, except this last one. Everything else I can live with. That so many things you have spoken. By now it is the 23rd chapter. Already 20 chapters Krishna has spoken. From 7 it has started. So 16 chapter, to almost 17 chapters Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. This knowledge which is even higher than Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? He has spoken this, and then now Uddhava is saying to him, Edhaiva anubuddheyam vadadona vadadamvara sudusahamimam anni almanyam asadadikramam. Everything else I can tolerate that, but when somebody starts using very harsh words and starts criticizing you for things even what you have not done, then what will you do in that situation? Vidushamabhi vishwalman. Why? Prakritirhi baliyasi. Prakriti is very, very powerful. Uddhava says, Prakriti is very, very baliyasi, very, very powerful. Hrade tvadharma niradhan shantamste charanalayan. Unless somebody has taken a complete shelter of Krishna, you cannot escape from this. Only such a person can do that, Uddhava says. Those who have taken a complete shelter of Krishna. And that who, how many are there in this world in that state? Look at ourselves, how far we get affected, is it not? So it is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. And because it is the most difficult thing, that is why Bhikshugita also is the most difficult thing. The answer. Question is a difficult question, isn't it? How do we get across with this problem? What Krishna is saying here. That means somebody, especially in Vyavaharam, you have to deal with people who give you, ill-treat you, you will criticize you, you will try, they will all try to pull you down as much as they can. That's there, that's the world. And in this world you will notice, suppose you have one good quality, the world will pull you down through that quality. They'll use that to pull you down. It's like that. That's what happened to everybody. Randideva, same thing happened. You were so compassionate. Using that compassion, the world will try to destroy him. Nrga's charity in the same way. Through that, Nrga had to pay the price. And saying Yudhishthira's truthfulness. And like there's so many others there. So this you can understand. That is what Krishna is saying here also. That most difficult thing is this in spiritual life also, that you get criticized for nothing. Even you may not be at fault, but you people will speak about you. And it is at that time Krishna spoke the Bhikshugita. And that is why Bhikshugita is so important. Bhikshu was a very rich person, wasn't he? He was a very rich person. But he lost all his money, finally. And finally he says, he took to sannyasa, more or less like a sannyasi, he was wandering around. And he had only what all left with him, a danda and a water pot. And kamandalu with him, danda with him, and a torn blanket which was burned practically. And he had a bag with him in which he carried a few things. But how the children treated him, the world, how they treated him. Someone pulled out his cloth and torn it into pieces. Somebody took away. He couldn't get any food. Nobody was giving him any food. And finally, he moved away to the next village. Somehow he went in begging for the food. He got some food. And he brought the food and he wanted to wash his hands in the riverbank and take the food. At that time, the cowherd boys who came there, they saw him. They thought he is an object for them to play with. So they went and passed urine into the food. And threw the dust and other thing into the food, so he couldn't eat that food and he was starving. Imagine that. So many ways they gave him trouble and no mercy from anyone. The local people are saying he deserves all that, because when he had money he didn't use it properly. When we discuss Bhikshugina, we'll go with that detail. So what was happening there was that it is not surprising at all. They gave the judgment that he has to go through this because when he had money, he didn't give it to anyone, he said. So, and there he says here, and Bhikshu says there, I'm not going to react to this situation. After all, who are they giving trouble to? My body, isn't it? Nayam janome sukha dukha hedu na devadalma griha karma kalam manaparam karanam avanandi samsara chakram parivartayebul. It is such a song that he sang, that Bhikshu Gita, that he was able to say that, and that is Krishna's grace. That is Krishna's grace. So whether they give me trouble or no, don't give me any trouble, they are doing me a favor, he says. Bhikshu says this. Why? My karma is running out in that way. My prarabdham is running out that way. So, because if you tolerate any insult or torture for the body in any way, that means that you are wiping off your prarabdham. To some extent it is getting destroyed. Isn't it? So, he was taken this attitude that they are only disturbing my body. They can't disturb me, he says. Let them talk anything and everything I accept it as an offering. He says there in the Bhikshu Gita. We'll discuss that. So, even if you take Krishna's case, you know what Krishna had to go through. One instance with Satrajit, with the Samantaka jewel. There was no, the whole Dwaraka started talking about Krishna. That Samantakam Krishna has stolen. Krishna is behind killing Satrajit's brother, Prasenan. Prasenan went with the Samantaka jewel, isn't it? And it became whole, Dwaraka was talking about it. People started looking at Krishna with suspicion. They were not looking at Krishna, oh, he's the Supreme Personality of God and or anything like that. They were looking at him in that way. They are saying that he asked Satrajit for that, Satrajit didn't give it to him, so he must have stolen it. He must be behind. They all concluded, somebody started this and it spread everywhere. Gossip started. So Krishna knows this, what it is like when somebody talks ill about you. When it happened to Ramachandra through the washerman, and he spoke about that relationship with Sita Devi, Ramachandra immediately took action, didn't try to sort out that, isn't it? Instead, what did he do? He sent Sita Devi to the forest and came out of the issue like that. But Krishna wasn't like that. Krishna said, I will go to the last thing and find out this issue, what's going to happen. So went to the forest, inquired about Prasenna, found out that Prasenna had battled with some lion, and lion has killed this Prasenna and taken the jewel. And then Jambavan saw the lion. Jambavan killed the lion and took the Samantakam from the lion, and Jambavan gave it to his grandson to play with. And all this story Krishna managed to find out, eventually went and fought with Jambavan and got Samantaka jewel back, took it back into the palace again, and then called Satrajit and handed it over back to Satrajit to stop this, to save his reputation, Krishna's reputation. So you can see there, Krishna had to act at that time. And similarly, with Shishubala and Krishna, how the relationship was, isn't it? Shishubala completely spoke ill of Krishna all the time. And Krishna heard everything. Krishna heard everything. And sometimes in the villages, when they act this drama of Shishubala and Krishna, this issue will come up. Shishubala has to continuously speak ill of Krishna all the time. He has to speak ill of Krishna. So, so every time there was an agreement that Krishna said, 108 times I will tolerate. 108th time he talks nonsense about me, I'll kill him. This benediction was known to Krishna and to Kunti Devi and to Shishubala's mother. When Krishna was tied down to the mortar, Damodara Leela was happening. One day, Shishubala's mother came with Shishubala to see Krishna and Kunti Devi. They all came together. Kunti Devi, Shishubala's mother, and Shishupala. Shishupala was a young baby, little baby that time. And Kunti Devi wanted to see the child in Vrindavanam. And Kunti Devi came, and Shishupala's mother is her sister, Kunti Devi's sister, Chedi kingdom they come from. So when they came to see Krishna was a little baby and tied down to the mortar and standing there. It was then they arrived there. And Krishna was saying, is this the right time they have chosen to come and see me in this unfortunate situation? Anyway, as soon as Shishupala saw Krishna, the four hands he had, Shishupala had four hands, two of them fell at that time. And at that time, apparently Shishupala's mother knew that Krishna will kill Shishupala. Due to some other information she had, that she knew that Krishna is... When Shishupala was born, a sage has told her that he will see sometime Supreme Lord himself, and he, at that time, when his two hands falls, in whose presence, that person will kill him. This was known to Shishupala's mother. So Shishupala, when these two hands fell off, Shishupala's mother knew that Krishna will be the person who will kill Shishupala. That was known to her. So she requested Krishna not to kill Shishupala. So Krishna says to Shishupala's mother that I will tolerate him 108 times, but 107 times. 108th time he tells about me anything, you know, I will kill him. And this was known to Shishupala's mother. And so Shishupala spoke all these things. So in the villages when they make this drama with Shishupala, every time Shishupala abuse, another person will stand next and start counting. 41, 42, 43. Because it has to come to 108. So when the 108 comes, then it goes. It goes, isn't it? So, so 40, 50 times Shishupala has spoken. 40 or 50 times he has spoken abuse to Krishna. And then he didn't know what to say, how to find fault with Krishna anymore. First he said, oh, he was stealing the butter, and he was cheating everybody, and he was a thief, he was this, he was that, and about his relationship with the gopis, all sorts of things Shishupala accused Krishna. Finally, he couldn't find anything after that, so he started calling him by names, all sorts of bad names he started calling him. So, it was at that time Krishna mentions to him that when he finishes this 100th one, I will tolerate all that thing, and after that, he will finish him up. So, what we have to remember here is this, that in Vyavaharam, it is a problem, isn't it? That you can see how this problem builds up. That the even among the families, this issue can come up. It is within the family mostly it happens, more than with the outside. Just like in the families, they have partition, isn't it? It is that time you will see the family members' true color. So now, if you see father, mother has left a huge property for the children to enjoy. And children would have already decided, I want this, I want that. Some of the valuable things, especially if you are very wealthy. If you are not wealthy, there is no problem. Everything makes very simple. But wealthy people, particularly those who have got a lot of wealth, and if they leave behind a lot of wealth, there will always be disagreement between the children. It will develop like that. And that is when you will see how all this so-called relationship between brothers, sisters, everything crumbles down. Up to that time they will say, oh, you all belong to the same family, he's my brother, he's sister. But the moment that money comes in the middle, then this whole relationship gets completely forgotten. There then the money speaks. After that, everyone tries to pull in their own way. So, and if they are living still when this partition happens, there will be even enmity towards the parents. It can build up. So you can see here, when we come to spiritual life also, in sadhana, we are doing japam, chanting the holy name, meditation, dhyanam, deity worship, and so many other things. They are all actually secondary. They are all secondary things. This sadhana, what we do, is all secondary things. Look at inside and see how much your own emotions are building up. That's more where you have to look at, not at the sadhana. Sadhana is only a secondary thing. Because if this has not gone from inside, there's not much hope. There's not much hope. So that hate and anger inside has to go. And it should not be there inside. That's what Krishna uses the word there, nati manita. You will see there. In the last third verse he said, teja kshama dridir shaujam nadroho nati manita. This nati manita, that means atimanita means, Krishna says, when we give too much value to ourselves, because I have thought I am someone, I am big or something like that, and I kept myself as important and special, and I have put a mask personality on me, I'm not an ordinary person anymore, or some thought of idea developed inside. So if that atimanita comes, then your freedom has gone. If atimanita comes, your freedom has gone. Atimanita makes you feel that you are different, you are special. Freedom has gone. So anytime if you get a little fame or name or fame or whatever that is, this atimanita is the problem that comes with that. You see? So always better to remain as an ordinary person in this world. That way the chances are that you won't get these problems. As soon as somebody starts recognizing you as someone important or somebody, what Krishna says, name or fame in any way, get attached to you, it will develop, this will come. Atimanita, that quality will, that problem will come. So that is why Krishna says there, nati manita. So, like this, that suppose somebody paid obeisances to you 4 times. 5th time, if he hasn't paid obeisances, you will be thinking, why is he not paying obeisances? Now, it will happen like this. This is the way it is. So, this is a human problem. So, sometimes it is wonder that is, you have to take it like this, it's not our fault, but problem is that it develops into all these kind of things. People create all this difficulty. Or if a group of people came, 4 people paid obeisance and the 5th one didn't pay, you start looking at it, why are you not paying obeisance? This guru-disciple business, all problems. It all creates only problem. If you just remain as ordinary people in this world, there is no trouble. You can live in this world peacefully. But instead if you start putting up all these kind of these things, has to be understood in a different way. It should not come through the institution. Because if institution enforces this on people, what will happen is the whole thing will go artificial. That's always it happens. You can observe yourself and see this. Remain as an ordinary person. After all, who is paying obeisances to whom? This is also another interesting thing to ask there. But institution is telling you, oh, you should pay obeisances to sannyasis, senior disciples, or mentors, or these things. Officially you can create so many things. And then you are always frightened to look at this like that. It is such a joke. The whole thing becomes a joke then, isn't it? It is a disaster then. That doesn't work like that. That's not what is expected either. It has to happen in a totally different way. And if it happens or not, the one who is feeling that it should be there is also at fault. It should be so natural that you shouldn't expect these things from anyone under all circumstances. So, Maharshi used to say this. He says, you teach Tattvamasi to someone, and he will teach you Atattvamasi. Okay, do you know what that means? It means, Tattvamasi means what? The Atma in you and in me is one. That is Tattvamasi. And that is what Guru is teaching the disciple. So disciple is teaching atattvamasi. No, you are the body, I am the body. So Ramaji used to say this, you have to be very, very careful. That's why he wouldn't like anyone coming. If he sees that anybody is paying offense, he'll turn his head that way and walk around the other side. He didn't want to know anything to do with it. He took this attitude in his own personal life because of this problem. So he says here, we are teaching them that you are spirit soul and they are trying to teach you that you are the body. Is it not? So that is what he is saying here. That again and again they will remind you of the body. Because that's what happens. You are reminding someone of his bodily identity by doing that. So therefore that is as much as possible avoiding is the best thing. That to be in that state. And they will install you in your body. If you are not in the body, then make sure that you are inside the body. And that is adhimanita. Adhimanita means that. Adhimanita comes in all these ways, I'm saying, through name and fame and through all these kind of dealings in this world. This adhimanita will build up inside. One has to be careful about that. That's what it says. So, so 54 years when Maharshi was in Tirunamalai, he did not allow anyone to put a garland on him or to wash his feet. Or to wash his feet. He wouldn't allow that. And not only that, he will not allow even anyone to touch his feet and to pay obeisances. Plus, he will not take any notice of things what happened in the world. So on a level, if you look at this, you can see that Jivan Mukta, one who is liberated in this body, he does not believe in these things. In the tradition, these things instituted in an institution for different reasons. That we have to see ourselves. And we shouldn't get completely carried away by that. That's also wrong. That respect is inside. You must have it to everyone. But when you institutionalize things, what will happen? You are already putting people in different blocks. These people are worshipable, these people are not worshipable. You've already made a distinction between people and that is dangerous. That's dangerous. Then what happens in the institution? Which we know what happens then, isn't it? So, Jivan Mukta state, if you have realized the people, their presence will guide you properly. But when we don't have that, and when we create an institution on these principles like this, that base rubber stamping everyone, he is advanced, he is not advanced. Who knows who is advanced and who is not advanced? It's Krishna who has to decide, isn't it? Like he said to Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, in bhakti, the judge is me, he said. I decide who is advanced and who is not advanced, not you or anybody else. He says this to Uddhava in the Bhagavad Gita. So till Krishna says to us, you are my devotee, we are not a devotee. We are only devotee when Krishna says to us that you are my devotee, like he told Uddhava, you are my devotee. Or told Arjuna, you are my devotee, isn't it? So till then, who are us to decide who is a devotee and who is not a devotee? It's a big mistake can happen in that way. Somebody whom you are recognizing as a devotee officially may not be a devotee. He could be a demon even. Or he is in a Kalishta stage even. But somebody else, in that process, you may go and offend somebody who may be actual devotee also, because the institution has not recognized. All these problems are involved. The best thing is not to get affected by all these, carried away by these kind of things, because Krishna says here, actually you are not doing any favor to anyone. Nadimanita, he says, this adhimanitam will build up inside. So, therefore, Maharshi, in many instances, he showed this to people, how to act properly. He used to get up and go to the kitchen in the morning at 5 o'clock and work with everybody in the kitchen, cutting vegetables, washing pots and things like that. Never wanted to give an impression to others that I am something superior to you. On a bodily level, who is superior to whom? And on a spiritual level, nobody is superior. After all, like in the Hamsa Gita you have seen, Krishna says that body is made of 5 material elements. Atma inside is one. Atma inside is one. So that is the way. That is why if you read about the history in Tirunamalai about that, his time, you will see this. There are so many books written about that. That he said that when he moved down to the land, when he came down from the mountains, and they built the ashram later there, he was living there peacefully, but then institution was created around him, centered around him. And later on that developed into also problems. It's not that it was without any problems. Same similar problems what we have seen. So one day Maharshi said to one of his old associates, he says, Vishwanath, when I was living in that cave upstairs, I was peaceful. He said, I used to go out into Tirunavalai town, and I used to go to a few houses with my begging bowl. And they used to give some rice or dal or something. I bring it home, eat it, and I used to sleep. Nobody was bothering me. Now this institution has developed. They want this festival, that festival, and all the celebrations, everything. And they want to announce everything to the rest of the world that I am living here. What is the need for all this, he said to them. So always he never wanted a separation from others. What everybody else has got, I will have that. I'll eat the same food and I'll sleep in the same way. In that way he maintained his spiritual status in this world. Never thought that the ashram belonged to him. They built the ashram around, he was sleeping there. So he says that because they are giving me food, I have to do some work here, he said. So he was going to the kitchen and cutting the vegetables and washing the pots and things like that. He himself did. Fortunately, that was a good time for many other women who worked in the kitchen. They got an opportunity to ask questions to him. And that conversations you can read separately in books, what he discussed with Vedantam. He reveals many things at that time, teaches them that how spiritual life one should be careful. And many, many people who associate with him at that time in the kitchen, they all later on became very famous. They all quietly exit this world without causing any kind of disturbances here. But at the same time, on a spiritual level, they moved very high in their own life, in this world. So that's how spiritual life is always kept very careful, managed. So, and another instance he mentions there, that there was this ceremony there about his appearance day. They wanted to celebrate his appearance day also. So some devotees said, we are the volunteers. You know the usual way how it is. The volunteering started. So they decided these people will be fed here. Because in places in India particularly, this is a problem. If you have a festival, a lot of people will come. And when they come, there are all types of people. There will be sannyasis, babajis, very poor people who may not be very clean physically. And then there will be people from the aristocratic higher families who are dressed up well, who won't eat with the other people. All these problems. So you got to look after everybody, is it not? It is an issue at that time when they come. And then there are sannyasis who come from the other mutts, who comes in the sampradaya with their danda and everything. And there are other sannyasis who does not come in the sampradaya, but who have taken sannyasam in a simple way and living in their own life. Sannyasis, you get all these type of people. There are sannyasis who come through organizational sannyasis, who taken from the organization, from the mutts or from institutions. There are sannyasis. And there are other sannyasis who have taken sannyasam on an individual level from another sannyasi, but they don't belong to any particular institution. So all these people will come when you have a celebration or a festival like that. They'll be there. So you need to be careful that you don't offend either of them. You've got to deal with both of them, isn't it? So what they did in the ashram was, they made two queues for them. Because they will not mix each other with each other because of their own reasons, whatever that may be. So they made two separate line to queue up for prasad. There were so many people and they were celebrating all these things. So, and the volunteers, they don't get any of this message. They will just do what they've been told. You will always notice this. Whenever there's a festival, the volunteers, they don't have any capacity to discriminate things. They will just do what they have been told. So what the volunteers did, they separated them out And they told the sannyasis to stand in these two queues. And they went and told Maharshi that you come. Now you should be sitting here because they are all coming here to see you, he said. What did he do? He left the whole place and went away from there. He said, I don't want to do any of you. He said, I don't want to do anything with any of your celebrations, he said. So they went after him, asking him to come back. He says, no, whatever you want to give it to me in a small plate. I'll go and eat my cave, he said, upstairs. And he wanted to walk away from there. So what important thing is to assume that I am something, that has to go from inside. Always to think Atma is independent of all these things. It is not putting higher or lower. It is speaking the truth, to remaining in the truthful state. Truthful state is nobody is special in this world. Nobody is special here. But all these extra things we put on others and make it happen like that. Put somebody up and put somebody down. This is our problem, it is. It's not their problem. And they have to be careful not to fall into that. So that is why Krishna is saying here, this Atimanita is a very dangerous thing. Teja Kshama Dhriti Shaujam Nadroho Natimanita. If this Atimanita goes away, then you can move with everybody freely. You won't find it difficulty. Because you're not thinking that you're separate from them, special from them, isn't it? So, Mahalpas, their greatness is this Natimanita. So, Krishna is going to talk about that if this qualification, if we don't have it, then we have to meditate on that and create that in our life, Remember I mentioned the story, Ishwara Chandra Vidyasagar's story before. It's a famous personality he was in his time. In Calcutta he lived. And he was like this. Never thought about himself as anybody different than others. I'm like anybody else. That was his nature. In spiritual life that quality is necessary. And once he was standing in the railway station, a man came down by train. And Vishwachandra Vidyasagar was giving a lecture somewhere in some place. And he has come to listen to that. And this man has come by train from a long distance. And he had luggage, everything with him. When he came out of the train, he was looking for a porter to carry his luggage. He couldn't find anyone. Suddenly, Vidyasagar was standing. He doesn't know Vidyasagar, who he is. So he asked Vidyasagar, can I find anyone here to carry my luggage to the hotel? Because that was the system then. That you come by train and then you will have your luggage. There was plenty of porters those days. Nowadays you don't see any porter anymore. Because ever since, this pulling trolley has come with the wheels on. Porters have all disappeared. All jobs gone. All those jobs are gone. But previously, when about 40, 50 years ago, if you travel in India, in every railway station you will find with this red jacket, porters or blue, red or blue, one of them they used to wear. And railway recruit them and employ them on the platform. And they'll be there right from the beginning to end of the train, standing there to fight with you about the money, how much you pay for them to carry. But that's all gone now. So he looked for the porter, he couldn't find the porter. And there were porters even here in this country in the past. Before they used to, not so many, because there's not so many people traveling here, isn't it? And what happened was, he asked Vidyasagar, can I find any porter here? So Vidyasagar asked him, what do you want to carry? I'll carry that for you, he said. He carried all his luggage to the hotel, from the railway station to the hotel, and he paid him some money. Vidyasagar said, no, there's nothing needed. I don't need any money, he said, like that to him, and he left. Next day, when he went to hear his lecture, Vidyasagar's lecture, he is the one who was giving the lecture there. Ishwarachandra Vidyasagar was so well known that he was giving the lecture there, and after the lecture was over, he went up to him. You can imagine his state of mind. He pays obeisances to him and says to him that it has happened to me like this, what can I do? I didn't know anything about it. So Vidyasagar says to him, why is there to talk about it so much? He said, I had good health to carry it, so I did that. There's nothing more than that, he said. So, there's nothing much to talk about it. This is Natimanita. This is called Adhimanita. That no Adhimanita, I'm separate or ambiguous, any such feeling. So this is to be, if you look into great personalities' life, you will see this. This is a spiritual quality, that is. It's a spiritual quality. Gandhiji had this, isn't it? He had done such things, you couldn't believe what he had done. Things like that. So Adhimanita comes from Krishna. That Adhimanita, Krishna had this Adhimanita, isn't it? Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot. And Arjuna was treating Krishna like a driver in the beginning, before Bhagavad Gita was spoken, isn't it? Krishna was like a driver, a friend, or a more or less like equal level in that way. So this you can see, spiritual people, if you observe, you will see these things in them. When Chandrasekhara Saraswati became the head of the math in Kanchipuram, what happened? The math, in a natural way, they have a lot of wealth, and they have elephants, chariots, horses and things like that for the head of the math to travel. Facilities provided by the mat, isn't it? But he didn't want any of those things. He wanted to walk around in the country with the people in the normal way. And sometimes he just wore only the kaupina, not even a dhoti or a gamsha, just a kaupin, that is all. And he walked like this throughout the country in that way. And that is when he wandered from all the way from Kanchipuram to Satara in Maharashtra. And that photo you can still see on the YouTube, without any clothes on, with only a kaupinam, walking this 900 miles something, from one side of the end of the country to the other end. You walk like that. And in the roadside, where there was, he used to sleep near the tanks to bathe, because it's convenient for him to bathe then. So he'll sleep near the tank itself, on the roadside. He'll sleep there. And many people who have gone with him at that time, who accompanied him, they said that on the way once he found an empty prison lying there. He said, I'll sleep there tonight. So they said to him, what is this, that you are the Shankaracharya of the Kanchipuram mud, you are going and sleeping in this mud. He says, if Krishna can take birth in a prison, can I not sleep in a prison at least, he said. That was his answer to him. He said, So he says, you took birth in the prison itself, isn't it? That is Adhimanita, he says. So, Adhimanita. So, many instances you will notice like this. Great Mathadipadi, highly learned people, but at the same time, their attitude in life is always in this state, to remain like that, isn't it? So, once it so happened in the mud, talking about him, that an old lady came from a village, very, very old lady, she came from a village to see him. And in the morning she wanted to leave. So there was a bus leaving from the town, and she wanted to catch that bus and go back to her village, and she had her luggage, everything. So in them days there is no bus stop or anything in the villages. Nowadays everything is too organized. Them days, you show the hand, the bus driver decides to stop, he will stop, you will get in. It was the system there. So, from the Kanchipuram mud to the main road, there was a little distance to walk. Shankaracharya says to her, that you walk, I'll bring the luggage, he says. She has come to see him, and he carries all the luggage for her to the bus stop with her. Old lady, very, very old lady, couldn't manage it. So everyone else was not woken up. It was early in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. So he carried the luggage, goes to the bus stop, and Shankaracharya is standing there with the old lady. When the bus came, she shows the hand for the bus to stop. The bus driver comes out, pays his obeisances on the road to the Shankaracharya. Then he goes away, and she gets into the bus and goes back. Somebody asked him about that. He says, so what? She had to go. I had to help. That's all. What's more to it than that? That is Adhimanita. Never to think anything, I'm special. So learned he was, but there is not a trace of ego inside, that there is something special about him. So, So there are instances, you will read all these things in many, many great personalities. If you look, you will really see that spiritual quality in them, that not being affected by the any of these things. For us, only a little bit is necessary. You should see how serious we become in our position in life, isn't it? So, after a few days you have traveled by car, then after that you can't walk anymore if there is no car. Going by bus or second class it is. So you have to bring the car, otherwise I can't come. This will be Nati Manida, Krishna is saying here. So that is why Krishna says that Akrodo Nati Manida, that Ahimsa, he says, Ahimsa Satyam Akrodham Satya Shandi Abhaishunam Daya Bodeshu Aloluptam Mardavam Hri Ajavaram Teja Kshama Dhrudir Shaujam Nadroho Nati Manida. Isn't it? Adi Manida. And Bhavanti Sambadam Devi Abhijatasya Bharata. So, these three verses, what we have seen, Krishna says that these are symptoms of a person who has born with divine nature. With divine nature. Bhavanti Sambadam Devi Abhijatasya Bharata. Krishna is saying there. Abhijatasya Bharata. Devi Sambadha, if one has got. You see, Krishna doesn't follow the worldly standard. Krishna has his own definition on everything. You can notice that. When he says, so we have to understand what Krishna is saying, not what institution follows. Institution may do so many things in their ignorance. They will do so many things. But we shouldn't get affected by that. Rather, we should take what Krishna says. That should be the guideline, nothing else. So, abhaya sattva samshuddhi, jnana yoga vivastiti, dhanam damaschayatnyascha, swadhyaya stava arjavam, ahimsa satyam akrodam, thyaga shandira vaishunam, daya bhude shalo luptam, mardavam hri ajabalam, teja kshamadrata shaujam, droho nadhi manida, bhavandi sambadam devi, abhijadasya bharata. Krishna says. So, we have seen, and all these things, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, it is there in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutra also. So, if you have a difficulty, because Krishna has said something, no, Patanjali has said also the same thing. Patanjali is Adishesha, you have to remember, Krishna's brother Balaram has come as Adishesha, as Patanjali. Right. So, Patanjali said that, in the Sutram, he says there is a Sutram 35, 36, exactly the same thing what Krishna has spoken there, he has put it in the Yoga Sutram also. So, there, Ahimsa, look at from there. If one situated in Ahimsa, Krishna says here, in his presence, if one is properly situated in Ahimsa, in his presence, others' heart will get cleaner. That means, suppose I have hate and aversion towards others, aversion or hate towards others, that will also go if I am in contact with someone who is purely situated in Ahimsa. Purely situated in Ahimsa. Tal sindho vairatyagaha. He says in the Patanjali says there. So, even if you are free from hate or aversion towards others, if you are completely free inside, even others will get benefited from that. The example is there in the Maharshi's case, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's case, and all you will see. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing through the Jharkhand forest, you saw the tigers and the elephants, others were dancing with him. What did he do? Why did that happen? Because there is no fear inside them that Mahaprabhu will give any trouble to them. Because there is no hate in his mind, there is no fear in his mind. Therefore, elephants and tigers, they did not feel any difficulty coming closer with him. And Maharshi's case also you will see, many tigers used to come from the forest and they'll come and sleep with him, lying next to him. There's photographs still there with him. How is that possible? Very fearful animals, they used to come and stay with him very friendly. Absolutely no enmity inside. That is that Ahimsa does. When a person has become completely free from himsa, violence, it can happen that way. Can come to that stage. Many rishis, if you look into their life, you will see this quality in rishis' case. And even animals who are opposing each other, they become friendly in your presence. There's a famous story about that. You know the Sringeri Math today in Karnataka, which is on the banks of the river Tungabhadra. When Acharya Swamiji was traveling that route, when he reached the Tungabhadra river, he saw an amazing scene. What was that scene? A huge snake was giving shelter to a frog who was delivering a baby. Can you imagine that? Normally, snakes are looking for the frogs. As soon as they find one, they will get it inside. Here, a frog is delivering a baby and a very powerful snake is giving shelter to that frog. It was that time Shankaracharya mentions that this place is very special. He inquires about that and finds out that it was the place where that great sage Rishyashringa performed penances for thousands of years. Rishyashringa is the one who performed the sacrifice for Dasharatha, for the Putragameshti sacrifice. So because of Rishyashringa, the place became known as Sringeri. And because Acharya Swamiji mentioned seeing this, he said, this is quite an unusual thing, that there is no enmity between the snake and the frog. This has happened, that shows the potency of the place. And he established Sringeri Math in that place. Sringeri Annaya Math, they call it. So you can see that happening in life, people's life sometimes, that when there is a love attachment to the animals, even they reciprocate. Sometimes they will reciprocate in that way, isn't it? Remember that there was a story about a man and a woman brought these cubs from the forest, lions, cubs, and brought them up in the city. And when they grew up, they started realizing that it requires its own habitat, took it to Africa and released them in the forest there. And then after many years, they went to visit them to see how the lion is doing. Then he has grown up and become big. But apparently the YouTube picture shows that when this grown-up lion saw them who brought them up, comes there and started licking. Can you imagine to deal with the lion comes to you and start licking you? This lion started licking the two people who brought up that cubs, as the cubs. So, and they saw this lion in there, they were climbing a hill and the lion was coming down from the top of the hill. So, similarly, that lion comes down and first he started licking the man and then she started licking the woman also who looked after them. So this language of the Priyam is known to them also. It's not unknown to them because Priyam comes from the Atma. Priyam comes from the Atma. Only thing is when it comes through the Upadhi, it comes like this, licking and showing its affection in different ways. The dogs also show like that, isn't it? But where is it coming from, that emotion? It comes from the soul. It comes from the soul. Only thing is when it comes through the upadhi, upadhi means it comes through the body and the mind and everything, it takes different shapes like this. But Priyam is the quality of the Atma. So, quality of the Atma. That is why Upanishad says this, Tasya priye meva shiraha, modo dakshina pakshaha, pramodam uttara pakshaha, anandam Atma. Anandam Atma. It is in the Upanishads. Upanishad says like this, that Priyam itself is the Ahimsa's another positive side, is this Priyam. Positive side. From it all comes from Ahimsa. Priyam comes from Ahimsa. So the lions knew that these people won't do any harm to me. That much sure they were. As animals though they were sure about it. That is why they were able to be relate like that. Whereas otherwise animals are frightened about us also, isn't it? Whether we will give them some trouble. That is why they attack us straight away. Dogs, cats, everything like that. So it's not good enough not to give pain to others, but at the same time that priyam has to build up inside. So if you look into the rishis' times, in Vedic times, the rishis who lived, they always talked about this, priyam towards all other living entities. And they say there that shandi, when we look at shandi, dyau shandihi, dik shandihi, andayiksham shandihi, aushadaya shandihi, vanaspadaya shandihi. In the Shandi Mantram in the Upanishad, it says, let all the plants and the trees, they live in peace. We won't give pain to them. Let all the trees, aushadhis, aushadhi means all the food that we get from them, medicines, everything, let them be in Shandi. Let the environment be in Shandi. Andariksham Shandihi. Dik Shandihi. In all directions, let there be Shandi. And mentions there that all the animals, let they be in Shandi. So because they kept Shandi inside and they showed Shandi to others also, this priyam comes to all other living entities. And that priyam is a Devi Sampatta, divine nature, Krishna says here. So Buddha also mentions this. If you read Buddha's life, he says here that when he was instructing about yoga system to his disciples, Buddha says to him that the necessity to have this in the heart all the time. Buddha's principle. Buddha had lived according to that. That's that he kept it all the time. And you will see this Buddha's philosophy followed by others later. Many other sannyasis in the Shankaracharya's tradition as well, they followed this Buddhist principle. It was a part of their training as well. So they have, while they sit for meditation in the forest, before they sit for meditation, they will say, they have their own Shanti Mantra. They chant, from the eastern directions let there be Shanti. From the northern direction there be Shanti. Western direction Shanti. Southern direction there be Shanti. And they also mentions there, everyone who comes here, let there be Shandi. All those who live here, let there be Shandi. So this was a particular principle, they kept it very close to their heart. And giving shelter to everyone, Abhayam. And only when our heart has enlarged or we have that higher vision, then this can happen. Shruti says there, Agnir Murdva Chakshushe Chandra Suryo Dik Shrotrova Vak Vivradamsha Vayu Prano Krudeyam Vishwamasya Sarvabhut Andaralma. So Upanishad also says there, Krudeyam is completely to be filled with Shandi, and the whole creation itself is Krudeyam, Ahimsa, Akrodha. Krodham Krishna has spoken here, and Krishna says also that from desires come Krodham. So if desire is not there, Krodham won't happen. Krodham won't happen. So, these two things, Kamam and Krodham, because there is desire inside, that is why Kamam and Krodham comes. This is the principle in the Bhagavad Gita. That if the desires goes away, Kamam, Krodham won't happen. This is the thing Krishna wants to say. Or, what I should get, somebody else has got it. And then it can happen. So, remember the story, a young sannyasi went to from the forest, he came to the country. And he saw that two families were fighting each other about their boundary fence that they built with neighbors. They were fighting about that. So, he thought that why are they fighting about? He could not understand. He was living in the forest, from there he has come. So he says to them, why are they fighting like this? He could not understand because they were so busy in fighting. So he went back to his ashram in the forest and he asked the old man there, old sannyasi, why are they fighting like this? So that time the old sannyasi told him, you know that water pot you have? You give it to me, he said. So this young sannyasi said, okay, you can have it, take it, he said. They didn't have much possessions, you see. So the old sannyasi says, I can't teach you, he said. Don't understand. He said, so because you have not taken possession of it, you're always thinking, it's not mine. If he wants it, he can have it. What does it matter? So that relaxed nature, that not ideal identifying with anything, Krishna is saying here that if you only start making claims from that, then it is becomes what they call it as karma. Karma is a desire that I must have this, I should have that. So that karma is this thing, that to desire to possess things. It's mine, that feeling. Krodha, which turns into krodham, anger, isn't it? So the krodham, anger, the main thing is it develops into dvesham and hate. That means anger develops into aversion and some kind of hate that builds up inside. When the hate develops, then we give pain to others. Himsa comes from that. Anyway, leaving behind that, we give pain to ourselves in that process. See, first desire, and if the desire is not fulfilled, dvesham. From ragam comes the dvesham, isn't it? Hate. And if it is not dvesham, when it develops, we give pain. It develops into hate, and the hate causes the pain. What's the pain? But in that process, actually, we give pain to ourselves. We gain to ourselves, isn't it? So, so this has happened throughout the history. You can see when India-Pakistan partition happened, what happened? Millions were slaughtered. Millions were slaughtered. Isn't it? So what was the scene then? The Pakistanis killed 4 Indians, Indians say, I killed 5 Pakistanis. In this way, it built up into serious hate. So ultimately they were counting how many Pakistanis were killed and how many Indians were killed. It happened like that. So, children didn't know who were Indians, who were Pakistanis. They were killing each other. Isn't it? So, in our mind we form some concept, he is a Pakistani, he is an Indian, and in that way it happens. So, so that is how it develops, isn't it? So, Ashandi, Krishna says. So, Himsa, Krodham. All of them have the same nature. All this Himsa, Krodham, everything Krishna has spoken. Dvesham. And Yogaha, Chittavritti, Nirodha. In the Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, he says, Yogaha, Chittavritti, Nirodha. So, Yogam, as he defines there, in reality, he says that when all the chittavritti stops, chittavritti means the thought waves that is developed due to the presence of the ragam, dvesham, krodham, vidvesham, things like that, that creates chittavritti inside. So if that chittavritti has to stop, then only then you can say it is yoga state. Only then it is yoga state. So you can see one thing, Patanjali also mentions there, if chittavritti builds up inside, as it increases, shandi will go down. If chittavritti increases, shandi will go away. And if you are in a shandi state, if you look inwards yourself, you will see there will be very little chittavritti. Vicharam, thought waves, that will be very few. You observe your own mind when you are feeling shandi, peaceful state. In shandi state, chittavritti will be minimum, very minimum. If you observe yourself, that is the time to understand the mind, how the mind is operating, which of course comes in the Bhikshagita later in detail. But one important point is that you can see how chittavritti built up with emotions. Any of them, isn't it? Kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madham, matsaryam. Any of them, if you have, the thought waves builds up emotions and there is no shanti inside. You are in a very agitated state, disturbed state. But when the emotions goes away, when there is shanti, if you look inwards, you will see there is not a lot of chittavritti there. There is a certain peace, inside. So, actually, when there is emotions, only then the mind is present there, or thought waves. When there is no thought waves, there is no mind which is present there. So, mind is nothing but thought waves. Mind is nothing but thought waves. And that chittavritti also, you can see there is samanyavritti. They call it samanyavritti. Samanyavritti means, so, somebody comes to sell something to you, say vegetables or something like that. You asked the price of different vegetables you want to buy. And she says some prices to him. You decided that, I'm not going to buy anything. The prices are too high. You can get it cheaper somewhere else, or you decided not to buy from there. So, they are thoughts what you are using for your harem purposes. Or you go to the market, you saw some items on sale, you thought about it, is the price right to pay that price? And you made a decision to buy or not to buy. They are not dangerous. That's finished there. That thought waves will come and it will go. But if any thought wave develops associated with hate or dvesham or attachment, that will give pain later. So again, when you look at thought waves, you have to see it that way. Those thought waves which does not cause any kind of emotions inside, because there you have got a choice to decide whether to buy or not to buy. You can buy if you like it, if you don't like it, you can leave it. Nobody's going to bother you about it, isn't it? So, which thought waves creates trouble? Those thought waves which are associated with emotions like hate or anger or things like that. And attachment will cause problems as much as aversion. Attachment and aversion. So, wherever you are attached, you have a problem. Because you are thinking that, will anything happen to them? That feeling. In that way, you will get some misery from that. And you will have a depression if any problem happens. If any problem happens. Other way, you will have another way that you are attached to someone, but that person will turn against you tomorrow. That fear also. Or will abandon me and go away. All these things. So, wherever there is attachment or aversion in that way, then there won't be any problem. Suppose you have no attachment to anybody. And if he dies or leaves this world, it's not going to bother you very much, isn't it? So, attachment, if you have a person you are attached to, if he dies or she dies, then there is a problem, isn't it? So, this attachment inside is the one that is causing the problem there. So, that chittavritti thought waves, which is combined with attachment, is dangerous. Is dangerous. So, wherever any thought wave comes associated with any emotions, you've got to be careful. That is it. That is what Krishna is saying in that. Any emotions, which is any thought waves, which is combined with an emotion, then you've got to be careful. That can cause problems. So, see you after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamahadavagnirvahapanam श्रेयकैदव चंद्रिया विदरणं विद्यावधु जीवनं आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपद पूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मना स्वभनं वरं विजयते श्रीकृष्ण संकीर्तनं नानामगारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तथापिदानीमिदा स्मरणे काला एदादृशी तव कृपा भगवान् नमामि दुर्दैव वीरसिंहा जनानुरागा ಭವಾಂಬುದೋ ಚಕ್ಷುಷಾ
శుచిమాయుధం జగత్ సర్వం గోవింద గ్రహే నమః
అహింస సత్యమక్రోధం త్యాగశాంతిరవైషణం దయాభూదేశలోలుప్తం మార్ధవం హ్రీ అచాదనం తేజక్షమా దుదిశౌజం అద్రోహో నాతిమానిద దేవీక సంపదం దేవి అభిజాతస్య భారత. సో యు కెన్ సీ హియర్ దట్ ది అటాచ్మెంట్ ఇన్సైడ్ ఆర్ అవర్షన్ ఇన్సైడ్, ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ రాగద్వేషం, if any chittavritti is associated with that ragadvesham, then it is painful, it hurts, isn't it? It hurts. So that chittavritti, klesha roopa vritti, thoughts, Krishna says there. So when we talk about this, one thing we have to take important notice, that is those thoughts which are associated with emotions, that's the one which comes in the form of anger and violence from inside, isn't it? So those thoughts you can see clearly if you look inward at that time, that how it causes problems. Whereas, as I mentioned, other thought waves, for example, as I said, if you go shopping and you find you're buying something you're not buying, it's gone. It doesn't cause any mark inside. Whereas those thoughts which are associated with emotions, what it does is that chittavritti will strengthen that samskaram inside. And when the samskaram gets stronger, it becomes vasana. And once it has become vasana, it has got life. And once it's got life, that means another body. That's how subtle the whole thing is. So chittavritti that does not cause damage is not a problem. Chittavritti will be there, because in vyavaharam chittavritti is there. But chittavritti combined with any emotions, attachment or aversion or anger or envy or pride or any such thing, if it develops inside, it turns into what is known as that chittavritti will become a samskaram in due course. It will become a samskaram. And once a samskaram builds up, it becomes, the line gets very thick. And when it gets very thick, it will become a vasana. It's called vasana. That is why these words are important. Like in the Bhagavadam, when Ajamila's story was spoken, you can see how come Ajamila fall into that situation. It's always an important question, isn't it? Born in a very good family, parents trained him up very well in the deity worship, and completely, in this happened in Kanpur. Kanpur is a place where Ajamila's life happened. So parents gave them good training, and he was very dedicated and committed to spiritual life. An ideal Brahminical background he had in him. In spite of all that, he went to the forest to bring kusha grass for the parents for their daily rituals. That is why he went for the forest. And when he saw this prostitute having a relationship with the Shudra in the forest in a very unacceptable way, initially he saw that and says that I should not look in that direction, how they are behaving together like that. But he could not resist himself. He started looking, and finally he started thinking, this life is not too bad, by the way they were living there in the forest. So there it says that that is the time his vasana came out from inside. Vasana was there inside, maybe some previous life it was there. So that vasana came out at that time, and he got victimized. That means once a vasana comes out, then you there's not a lot you can do about it. It has to go through that experience, and that's why Ajamila decided to move away from home, stay in the forest and stay with her, and made contact with her, gave up his connection with the parents, including his wife, who has very honestly served him all through his life. He gave up all connections at home and decided to go and stay with her in the forest. So at that time it says, but that was a bad vasana that manifested. Now the same Ajamila had a good vasana as well in him, and that is what has made him to give the name to his son as Narayana, isn't it? And strange enough, at the time of death also, Ajamila was saying that he had some attachment to this last son, youngest one, which is Narayana. And he kept all the time asking his prostitute wife, have you fed Narayana? Have you given milk to him? Have you put him to sleep? Like a normal father will inquire about the child, he was always inquiring about Narayana's welfare, not about other children. This particular son, Narayana, who was born from her. And what prompted him to give the name Narayana to the child? Vasana. That is the good vasana, what he had in him. Isn't it? Vasana balal juhava Narayana namakam sudam, said. Vasana balal, due to the power of that vasana, juhava, he called his son Narayana namakam sudam. His own son is Narayana. So vasana can work like this, and vasanas are the final stages of chittavritti. Chittavritti develops and finally turns into vasana later. That is why we have to be conscious of chittavritti all the time. What chittavritti we cultivate ourselves. If you observe chittavritti, that's why we have to observe the chittavritti, how it will develop later on, in what form. Suppose you hate somebody, and that hate once, twice, thrice, and it builds up stronger and stronger. Eventually it ends up, and that's when you take the gun and start shooting him. It becomes a full vasana. Before that stage develops, you know to know where to pull out of it. That is what it is necessary. So wherever that jagrada, that seriousness is necessary at that time. So you can see here, some people, if they wear clothes, they can keep it always in a good shape throughout the day. Some others, they wear the clothes, they can't do it. By the evening, the whole clothes becomes soiled or loses all. So that is different prarabdhamiti. It is like that. So similarly, why it is spoken it like that is, yogi is always conscious of his chittam. He will make sure that he does not think too much about the clothes outside. He thinks about his subtle body, how he keeps his subtle body all the time. In other words, without allowing anything to get inside into the chittam, which means that normally who gets in? Wherever you have attachment, ragam, they will get in. Wherever you have dvesham, that will get in. So ragam dvesham decides what wants to get in inside us. So that is why in Yoga Vasishtam, there is a verse which says like this, that yogi's chittam, it will be like a mirror. It will be like a mirror. In other words, if you stand in front of a mirror, your actual reflection you will see there in the mirror. Is it not? In the same way, a yogi's subtle body you can see from inside. How it will reflect so well outside. It will reflect so well outside. You will see clearly that there is no vasanas inside in his subtle body. And that is definitely something adorable, isn't it? That whereas if you look at our body, we don't know what is inside, what is outside. And that too, particularly great people who are doing a lot of vyavaharam business in this world, they have to be so duplicitous, and all the shoddy dealings have to keep inside one thing, say something else outside, because of their business activities, isn't it? So that is not possible. That is why ajnanam, avidya, tamogunam builds up inside. Whereas for a yogi, what is important? Satogunam, and that purity inside is more important for him. So if you stand in front of a yogi, you can see this, his chittam, like a mirror outside. So the secret of all this thing is how to remain in silence. Because it is that way you are avoiding the chittavritti. Chittavritti, if it builds up inside, it is dangerous. You can't have a spiritual life with a lot of chittavritti going on inside. You see, even though we say that in spiritual life we have to be busy, active, this and that, but if it is destroying the subtle body inside, there is no point in doing anything in this world. To be able to be living peaceful inside, that's more important than anything what you are doing in this world. What you are doing in this world. So, so when we are peaceful within, in some way that chittavritti is stopped inside, there you will see the things will happen in this world. That peacefulness, nischalata, where dvesham, hate, asuya, envy, krodham, when they influences that peacefulness inside, at that time you know that that it is, you are getting affected by the external world. By the external world. So if you give trouble to others or any dvesham builds up inside, actually you are destroying your own spiritual life, your own spiritual life. So yourself get affected. That is why Krishna is saying here that for my own protection or for your own protection, for your own benefit, you should not allow these thought waves to get inside in relationship with others. And in one way, in a particular way, it's a good selfishness, the good selfishness, intelligent selfishness they call it, or self-concern you can say, to keep yourself pure all the time, pure all the time. And that desire inside, how to safeguard your own peace inside. And with that peace inside, if you execute sadhana, it will be more beneficial, more beneficial. So why they do that? Because they are careful, yogis, in their upasana mandalam. Upasana mandalam means in the field of spiritual activity, they are careful about these things. That is what Krishna is saying to us. Ahimsa satyam akrodam tyaga shanti apaishunam. This is for those who are wanting to progress on the spiritual path. Daya bhude shaloluptam mardavam kri rachapalam. If these qualities are inside, the benefit is that your subtle body will be peaceful. And if the subtle body is peaceful, your sadhana, what you are performing, will have tremendous effect inside. Tremendous effect. It is connected to each other. All our sadhana and these qualifications are connected to each other. Krishna's point is, these are particularly meant for those who are engaged in spiritual sadhana. Spiritual sadhana. So, Deya Bhude Ahimsa Satyamakrodam Tyagam. Tyagam, Krishna says. Tyagaha. Tyagam. So, Tyagam. If you want to sacrifice anything in this world, you got to be thoughtful in spiritual life. Otherwise, it's not possible. Okay, somebody tells you that do this, you did that. But that is not Tyagam. When does it become Tyagam? Tyagam means from within that thoughts have to come. And when it says there, otherwise you cannot do it. Atmahitam. That means when your own benefit for your own self, when the thoughts is building up, that my own interest, the selfish, may appear self-selfish, but actually it's not selfishness. It's your own self-realization process that is. It is at that time that you are concerned in mananam, nididhyasanam, about the benefit for the soul. When you are thinking about that, that is at that time only you can perform tyagam. Tyagam, when we are engaged in tyagam, tyagam means sacrificing for somebody, we are thinking that, oh, I am losing everything, I am losing everything, isn't it? But actually, otherwise, it is only to download everything what we have got, is this tyagam quality is spoken. Quality is spoken. So, suppose wealth, for example. Lot of wealth you have built up somehow, due to prarabdham or something, a lot of wealth came in life. And eventually you will see it's a burden. It will become a burden one day when you get closer to death. You just don't know what to do with it. Because then it is then that you start realizing that I've spent so many years in life to make this wealth. And then what is going to happen to that? And that has become a burden on yourself. Everyone will go through this stage. So it is at that time how to know, how to download everything, what you have collected in that way. So only that person who has understood the principle behind it, he alone can offer that in happiness. Alone offer that in happiness. So this downloading principle is Tyagam. That is what Krishna is talking about here. How not to pull everything from the world, rather giving back to the world what you have taken from this world. Instead of taking, giving back to the world. You will see this in the Bhagavadam, how Krishna, in Kriya Yogam particularly, Krishna mentions this. You know how Krishna puts it? He says there that the, if you read those verses in the 27th chapter, in the 11th canto, he puts that in one verse, he says there, that the whole last two verses, last but one verse, 27th chapter, 54, he says there, talking about Bhakti Yogam, all up to that. In the 53rd verse, he said, Bhakti Yogam Salabhade Evam Ya Puja Yetamam. He finished, and then the 54th verse, Ya Swadattam Parairdattam Hareda Suravipraayoho Vrtim Sajayade Vidbhu Varshanam Ayudhayudam. That verse. Ya Swadattam Parairdattam. Suppose you have given wealth to Krishna's temple, or somebody else has given some wealth to Krishna's temple. Swadattam or Parairdattam Hareda Suravipraayoho. And that wealth belongs to the temple. Wealth belongs to the temple. You have given some wealth to the temple, and that is temple's wealth. And or some wealth was given to the brahmanas who are serving in the temple. But they should be brahmanas. That's very clear about that. Unfortunately, the whole translation is wrong in the book. You will see there, he mentions there Suravipraayoho. He has translated as demigods. Sura means demigods, he's saying there. It's not only demigods, any deity. If it's Krishna or Vishnu or Shiva or anybody, doesn't matter who it is, it applies to all. Not all. Now, if you read that verse, translation, it says Suravipraayoho. The translation, only who steal the wealth of the demigods, it says. Isn't it? No. Whether you steal the wealth of demigods or Krishna's wealth, it's the same. There's no difference at all. It can't be otherwise, isn't it? Common sense will tell you that. Whether you take Krishna's wealth or whether you take demigods' wealth, it's equally bad. So that is why, Yasodattam Parairdattam Hareda Suravipraayoho. Sura includes Krishna also is included in that. But somehow the other translation is wrong there. Suravipraayoho. Vrtim sa jayede, such a person, what will happen to him? Vid book varshanam ayudhayudham. He'll be like a worm in the stool for life after life, Krishna says there. So he puts a heavy responsibility on people who, when you offer money to the temple, and the temple when they receive the money also, if it is abused in any way, that is considered to be, Krishna says, that is not acceptable. That's not acceptable. Yes, sadattam parayardattam hareta suravipraayoho vrtim sa jayade vidbhu varshanam aidaidam. So in that chapter we'll see that later when we discuss that. But Krishna's point is here, Tyagam is only possible with the proper understanding when you are sacrificing anything for Krishna's purpose, because otherwise you cannot be in a happy state when you're making that sacrifice. So Krishna says here, suppose you have acquired wealth, and that wealth, instead of keeping, you have decided to give it to some purpose where it can be utilized. It is useful if the money goes there to that place. But while giving at that time, you have to know the tattvam behind it. Knowing very well the tattvam behind it. Otherwise, you cannot give it properly. You cannot give it properly. And that is the law of the nature. Law of the nature. Because even in human body, we all have, there is a small percentage of animal propensity also in us. It has not gone completely. Because if whole animal nature goes away, then we are proper human being, isn't it? So depending on when we entered into the human body from the animal body, which may have happened, I don't know, this life or last life, or how many life before, or it could be the first time we got entered into the human body. So the animal's nature is there in us, inerrantness. It has not gone away, isn't it? So just like you can see the animals, you give some food to the dog, if another dog comes, you won't let the other dog come closer. It's not barking, isn't it? So that nature is in all of us. We all have that, isn't it? So that is why whether the dog came from the human form or from human form came from the dog, we still have to debate about that. Who knows? So remember I mentioned this story about Chattambi Swamiji. He was a famous person, a yogi he was. What he did was, he once it so happened that there was a birthday going on in some family. Child's birthday was celebrating. So they invited him to for the feast. So he said that who are all visiting for the birthday feast, he said. So he asked this question that he said that there's a lot of people coming, but I'll all be coming with me, and you have to make sure that they all are given properly offered food, he said. Some of them were wealthy people, some of them were employed by the government in high positions, and somebody from the income tax people, and all sorts of people were there. So he said to them, they insisted that this Swamiji should come for this. Chattambi Swamiji and Vivekananda has a lot of discussions among them about Shastram. That's a book you can buy, you can see that. And Swamiji, they invited him and they insisted that he should come. So he said, Swamiji said to them, that there will be another 100 people with me. Are you able to look after all of them, he said. So they said to him, don't worry about 100, 500, bring as many as you want, he said. We will look up, make sure that they are all fed properly. And he told them to bring them all. So when he came after a long time, when he came at the time for the feast, there was about 100 dogs with him. They all came with him for the feast. And he told the dogs, you all stand outside. They had a marquee or something where they... So first he entered inside. So they invited him. So they arranged this place for him to sit. So he went and sat there. And he told... They asked him, where is your guest? You said so many people are coming with him. So I told them to wait outside. Shall I call them now? He said. He says, yeah, it's ready. Everybody is ready, he said. So he told them and they all came one behind the other, following one dog after the other. Hundreds of them came like that. And they all came and Chattambi Swamiji was sitting there. Next to him they have put the leaves one after the other. All these dogs went and sat next to him, one in a row along with him in the row. And he said that everybody is ready now, you can start serving, he said to them. So all these, the host started looking at them, seeing these 100 people who had come to see him. So he said to him, you told us that 100 people were coming. He says, yeah, they are these 100 ones, he said. So, so, and he served them this food and he offered them food. The dogs ate all the food. After eating the food, they folded these dogs, they folded the leaf and bit them, and holding into their mouth, they quietly walked out and put the leaf in the right place and went away from there. So after that, they started standing there and they were thinking all this, what was going on. He says to them that there's few issues happened there. First thing what happened was that they served the food to everybody. So they were saying that we can't serve these dogs. That's how the problem started. Can't serve the dogs. So he said that if you don't serve them, I can't eat. They come with me. They are my guests, he said. So after, anyway, finally, after pressure, he served the food. And ultimately he says, there's nobody here to take the dog's leaf later on, which has been served. So at that time he told them that you take the leaf. The dogs very obediently took everything and they left at that time. So after that they invited the Swamiji and they started washing his feet, wanted to wash his feet. He says to them, you are all very advanced people, aren't you? He says to them, to the host, he says, I don't need all this kind of washing business, he said. And he walked away from there. So what we have to understand here is that these people, he said, you are only looking at the body. You don't know who these people are, he said. In their last life, these dogs were big, big people. But they got this dog's body. Why? Because of their dealings in the world. They got this dog's body. And that is why they had to get this body. And practically there is not much difference between you and them, because you are going to have a dog's body also in the nature life, the way you are going on with this. So that is why he says like this, that don't think that they have eaten your food and gone away, and they are not going to be any way different. And at that time, the person who has invited Chatambi Swamiji, he paid his obeisances to him and told him. And this understanding is necessary in spiritual life. This is only a story. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying this. Ulkramandam sthidam vavi bunjanam va gunanyidam vimudha nanu pashyandi jnana chakshusha. A verse in the last chapter, what we discussed before. Ulkramandam sthidam vavi bunjanam va gunanyidam vimudha nanu pashyandi jnana chakshusha. See that verse?
Number 15:10.
Krishna said, we discussed that verse and we mentioned about this also at that time. Ulkramandam sthidam vavi bunjanam va gunanyidam vimodha nanu pashyandi jnana chakshusha. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all these things. That's what it is. Spiritual life is completely different than the way we have to come out of material concepts, isn't it? We are always fooling ourselves with the society and the social conventions. We think that these people should be only invited, others should not be invited. This is all madness. In the spiritual path, we have to be extremely, unless we have that vision, it is better that we don't invite anybody for this, unless we understand this principle. Sometimes it can happen. You are offering food to many people. Big bang men invite big parties, isn't it? Suppose a hungry person comes, you're not invited, they say to him. Is there anything? You don't know who that person is. So what sort of party is that, isn't it? Suppose you have some program going on and people have come for the program, and nowadays we people have no shame. They say that, only those who got RSVP or what they call it, isn't it? Only alone can come. Or they want you to say that you are coming for the party or not, so that they can order. People have become poor, that they can't offer food anymore to anyone else. Only the number what you have invited you can feed. Can't feed anyone else, and somebody else comes and says, look, I'm hungry, I want some food. He says, you're not in the list. This happens all the time. In marriages, everywhere you can see this. That's not even considered proper. Because of this, that food is Krishna's creation, isn't it? All of us are meant to have it. Nobody. And if you are in a position to offer food, you should offer like the David Anjadeva did. That you should be able to offer everyone before you can have it. But that's changed now. Ulkramandam sidam vabi bunjanam va gunanyidam vimodhan anu pashyandi jnana chakshusha. So Krishna is saying here that we are all got different bodies, and we are sitting in different forms, cat's form, dog's form, tiger's form, human form, but this is due to prarabdham. Prarabdham has put this body on us, on this dress, isn't it? So, and if you ask where this selfishness has come, you can't answer that. From which form this selfishness has come inside us? It's very difficult to answer that. Sometimes you can see it may have come to us from our animal body, when we had the animal body. Because that's why it is possible it has entered into us. Like the dog will not allow another dog to eat, and that comes to us. And actually those who are doing all these kind of things, they are practically not much different than the dogs. As far as their spirit, and they say, oh well, we have got this Maharaj here, that Maharaj here, and therefore we are having this party to honor that particular Maharaj or particular sannyasi or this thing. So what does it mean? It is only indicating to us that they have understood very little about the spiritual side of it. So Tyagam, what Krishna is talking about, is a very difficult thing. It's not so easy, isn't it? Well, talking about it, it is easy to talk about it. But when it comes to practical life, you can see how difficult it is, Tyagam, is it not? Suppose you have some program and there is prasadam, you have to give everyone whoever has come for the program. Otherwise, it's not idea proper, isn't it? Because the very principle on which you are doing that is wrong. That is why, if you know, when sannyasis come, traditionally we are talking about, when sannyasis come, they are received with purna kumbham. Purna kumbham means it's a huge pot, you will see, filled with some grains and things like that. And the mantra they chant at that time, when they receive the sannyasi, is that karmam, through karmam, or through praja, or through wealth, this wealth was not procured. Na karmanaha prajaha nyatyagenega amudatva manashu. It is from the sannyasa suktam. There is a suktam for the sannyasis. In the Mahanarayana Upanishad, this sannyasa suktam comes. So when sannyasis, om na karmana na prajaya dhanena tyagenege amurdatva manashu, there is a mantram there for sannyasa mantram. So what it says is, through sacrificing that false ego inside, ahankaram is made as an offering in the fire, yajanam. It happens, ahankara yajanam turns a person into amrutvam, immortality. Practically, tyagam is not through, you cannot get it by, acquire it by sobhavam. How does tyagam comes? Through tapas. So tapas is the way to develop tyagam. Some people, if you observe, you will see, very clearly you will see, they have that sacrificing nature for others. In a very subtle level, it's always working in them. Able to satisfy others, but not for themselves. That is the tyagam. That is that nature in them. And there are some others who will make sure that everybody else after me. The opposite side of it. And they can never understand what tyagam means. So that is why Krishna is saying this tyagam specifically here. So, you can see this in this particular instance, tyagam is not meant for that. Sometimes instruction is given in the school also, sometimes the head teacher tells the children, oh, you have to sacrifice this, sacrifice that, or just like a New Year message, it becomes, isn't it? But our problem is that when such instructions given, all our system will oppose that from inside. You can see that and how it works. Just like if you're traveling in a bus and the bus is full, there is no space in the bus, you got a seat, bus seat, and such an old person or is very sick or who is not very strong, he's coming standing next to you. You're thinking, should I offer him the seat or not? Is it not? So there, if you understand the principle that if you offer the seat, when you come down out to the bus, you will see a burden has gone away from your mind. if you are not offered the seat, you sat down there and you travel all the way, you come out of the bus, that guilt will also hurt you. Inside. This is all our own experience. It doesn't require any big science. To our daily life, if you keep looking at it, you will see this, how it works. How it works. So, of course, if you look at all this, it may not be possible to travel in the bus. That is also there, isn't it? So, that is why Krishna is saying here, intelligence will tell you that don't give it up, hold on to it. Or at the same, he says, sometimes it will say that, Buddhi says that, if you have good intelligence, it will tell you that, oh, even if it's a little trouble, doesn't matter, I can tolerate that. And therefore, intelligence always take the side of selfishness. That's the problem. This intelligence inside will take the help of selfishness. But through satsangam and through reflection, if we have purified our intelligence, you can see that it will tell you, dictate you from inside to get up and offer the seat. Offer the seat. It is difficult. Bhakti is not easy. All this is a part of bhakti, as Krishna is talking about. That when he says there, ahimsa satyam akrodham tyaga shandir apeshanam daya bhudeshaloluptam tyagam shandi apeshanam. Three things. Tyagam shandi apeshanam. So tyagam is not easy. Tyagam is not easy. So Krishna is saying that these qualities will help in spiritual life. That is how Krishna puts it. Of course, these things has to happen by Krishna's grace inside. As much as the subtle body gets purified, these qualities will naturally come in a person. Naturally, it will come in a person. In a natural way, it has to happen. Forcefully, you can't do it. That's the problem. And that is why Krishna links all these things with bhakti, sadhana, everything. It's a part of that. Is it? Part of that. So, sometimes we have failed, isn't it? Physically, you got some comfort by sitting in the seat. But on the other side, it has created a conflict inside. And a small impersonal joy you had, but in a personality level, something you have lost when you got down from the bus, isn't it? So, So in Krishna's rules, what Krishna has specified here, there is different aspects you have to look at. In that verse, remember in the last verse, Krishna mentioned about a word called tapas, isn't it? Swadhyayam tapasya arjavam. What you have to remember is, tapasya and tyagam are connected each other. Tapasya and tyagam are connected each other. Only one who has got tapasya, he can perform tyagam. Otherwise it's not possible. Tapasya is necessary for tyagam. They are connections, they have connected each other. So, little tyagam in life is a tapasya. Small things, like as we mentioned about the, while giving prasadam to others, or giving a seat to somebody else, and things like that, an older person or a sick person, that what is happening at that time is that within ourselves, the mind gets a purification. That is what happened. And that is the result of tyagam. So tyagam, little tyagam, Krishna calls it as tapasya. And finally he says, mahatyagaha is abhimana tyagam. That means the greatest tyagam, sacrifice, is giving up his one's own false ego. That is the greatest tyagam. So here, in a realized soul, jivan mukta state, or a jnani, for him, tyagam is spontaneous. and they can even give up their own body if it's necessary. They can give up their own body even. If you look into big persons, they have shown this, how they can give up their own body finally, because it's a tyagam for them. They are not leaving, they are not lamenting about it at the time when they are leaving the body. So I think we'll stop today. Continue tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.